beat. Damn dope.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show. And those things they win.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Another glorious weekend in the rearview mirror, and this now is the highlight of the new week. When I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Philip Robert Jonathan Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
I don't know how your weekend was.
It was pretty good.
Phil had one hell of a weekend.
Did he really?
What did he do?
He called me late last night. He saw on the sports page one of those massage ads. He went to get his buttocks massaged, and after that, he couldn't get up off the floor.
Oh,
it was
really?
The weirdest thing. Everyone had to help him. But he made it out okay.
Oh, I get it. That's a Tom Gavin thing. I'm with you.
Oh, now I get it. Yeah, that was from Friday's show.
Yeah, you think so. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Phil, for calling me with that. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Survivor and all the ships at sea. Hey, they never licked the dent. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And that was another comment about Friday's show.
But clearer, I think, because the dent on his head.
Right. Thank you. And hello for listening, everybody. It's new episode, of course, Monday, June 19. Telephone number,
same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Right, Timmy, 877-365-3636.
Yeah.
This telephone right here will be peppering this broadcast with your calls today.
Excellent.
First call of a new week right now.
Okay, here we go.
Wow. John and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, this is Dave in Portland.
Yes, Dave.
And home of your favorite station manager, J.J. McKay.
Oh, you're calling from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. And she had a bikini beach wash this weekend with 16 beautiful women all lathered up, soaping up their bikes. And
can you go a little slower? What does this have to do with us? We like most of the calls on the show and the topics to somehow involve us.
Okay. I went up to J.J. McKay, and I told her that I was going to get on the Don and Mike show today.
A little slower, please.
And so I took my $5, and I put it between my in my eyeglasses and put my face right down in her big boobs.
All right, this has something to do with the general manager of our radio station in Portland, Oregon, who has told us that she has gigantic jugs.
He apparently approached her.
What? Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Good start.
A new call on a new week.
Yeah.
It sets the tone.
It sure does.
It sets the tone.
What that means is we won't be taking a lot of calls this week on the show.
Wow.
Because that's a guy who had been waiting all weekend. I mean, that's not one of those spontaneous, hey, I think I'm going to call those guys to see what they want to talk about today calls. That was a guy who really sat around with his thumb up his bung all weekend and could not wait to call us.
Hallelujah.
I do think we have a new station signing on today. I hope that the good people of Tucson, Arizona will not hold that call against us.
Oh, Tucson, cool.
Don't know what the call letters are. Left it up on the desk.
That is one seriously beautiful town.
So maybe if somebody could run up and grab those off the big, gigantic desk in our office, I'd give you the call letters. It's a tape delay so that the show can run an afternoon drive.
Wonderful.
But we do want to say hello to the good people of Tucson, Arizona.
Good.
Yeah. I would have brought that down. I would have remembered to bring that down off the desk if we hadn't once again been slowed up by a fantastic pre-show meeting with America's favorite twins, Ken Stevens and Jeremy Coleman.
You know, it is a wonderful experience that, say what you will about the content of any meeting we have here, whenever we leave a room with a meeting with management, maybe it's just me, I feel loved.
Me too, Mike.
There you go.
Me too.
Absolutely.
As they continue to try to come up with new ways to F up the concept of us just coming in and just doing the best show that we possibly can.
Yeah, I tell you, just you know, there's so many I love yous. It's hard to do. It's hard to deal with.
Right. And listen, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but basically, it revolves around the episode last week with Superman making love to Lois Lane.
Surely. Huh.
That is the crux of what the latest hoo-ha is involving this show.
It's always a wonderful love fest.
You know, and at some point, really, like I've said on the telephone to these guys when we've discussed this before we had this in-face meeting today, you know, stop and think what you're criticizing here, mm-hmm. what you're critiquing, what you're going to take a fine-tooth comb through. You are talking about
right.
a discussion we had about
Superman
boning Lois Lane.
Right.
I mean, bust our balls about real stuff if you want to.
Sure.
But we were having a discussion about Superman giving a high hard one to Lois Lane.
A discussion with really, when you analyze it from every possible angle, with no basis in reality whatsoever.
Right, hello. There is no Krypton.
It's fantasy.
Book. There is no Kal-El.
Total fantasy. They're not hurting anybody.
There is no Daily Planet.
A break.
But it's very serious to them.
For sure.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Business. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don and Mike?
Yes, hello, we are. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, whatever happened to Lou Retard?
Lou Retard?
Yes, your guest you used to have on.
Lou Retard unfortunately died of brain cancer.
No.
Lack of brain.
No.
Yes.
That's what they said on the coroner's report. Lack o' brain.
Wait, you guys just kick him off the show, though?
Yes, he's dead to us.
Okay.
He's not actually dead. However, he is dead to us.
But I'm sure he'll appreciate you mourning him.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The new station in Tucson, Arizona, Mike, is, of course, market leader KJLL.
KJLL.
Right. KJLL.
KJLL,
Tucson, Arizona.
Kal-El.
That is the new station. Kal-El is a made-up man.
That's correct.
From a made-up planet.
Right. KJLL, Tucson. Great golf courses down there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, it's Angela. I just wanted to say hello to you again. It was a pleasure meeting you Saturday.
Angela from my brother-in-law's party. Hey, baby.
How you doing, boy?
Oh, this is my buddy from my brother-in-law's party.
You know, I always tell people, that I ever socialize, I said, don't call the show, but you can call the show because I like you, Angela.
Angela sounds like a man, baby.
She's a lovely lady.
I'm not a man.
She's a hot soul sister, baby. Well, we had a great time at that party, Angela.
Yes, we did, and I didn't get a chance to say Happy Father's Day to you the next day.
Well, you are the only one. Thank you. Thank you very much, and I had a great time at Lou's party.
Sure.
Thanks, Angela.
Uh-huh. You have a good one.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Speaking of, why don't you go first? Because I know that we always do the weekend recap, and I do have
yes.
a bunch of weekend stuff to tell you about, including what turned out to be a very nice mm-hmm. Father's Day weekend.
Good. Yep.
That was given to me by my family, but I turn the floor over instead okay. to Mike.
Okay. All right. That Angela called from, she was at a party that my brother-in-law had for a bunch of teachers that he worked with, and she's a security guard that worked in the school. I think they did the night school program at one of the high schools and it's a very tough deal, tough job. And they were celebrating a good season. There were lots of teachers there. I didn't know anybody, Angela included. We had a fantastic time because I just hit it off with all these people. And
yeah.
Angela, we were all cutting rugs and dancing and everything. It was a fantastic party. That was the middle of the weekend, Don. That was that was Saturday night.
Saturday
evening, when my wife and I arrived, no one was there yet. None of the teachers had arrived for this party yet, and we were at my brother-in-law's house. And as we sat down, I believe the subject of Father's Day came up. And as soon as the subject came up, I heard my wife go, and I looked at her and said, what? Oh, you didn't even know. You didn't even know.
This was on Saturday night?
Saturday evening, right before the party was going to start. I said, you didn't know, did you? And she gave me that look that says, yes, I did. I said, no, you really didn't know. And we were going to stay over at my brother-in-law's house with the kids, because we brought the kids with us, and we stayed over there on Saturday night. And it became evident to me on Sunday that she really didn't know. And that was my Father's Day. And
wow.
Later on in the day, you know what, I didn't throw in one last detail. Okay, first of all, there's nothing. For Father's Day. It was really nothing.
Ouch.
No, nothing. No, not a card.
Did you get a card?
I got a card later in the day after my wife took the kids out to the grocery store. Later in the day.
Wow.
Like 5, 6 o'clock, something like that.
5, 6 yesterday afternoon.
Yes, yeah, evening. Uh-oh. Nighttime.
Jesus.
We'd been out. We'd had a late night. Angela was at that party. It's a great party. So it was a Sunday was just a day to crap out. We didn't do much of anything. I laid around all day. My wife laid around all day. The kids watched TV all day. We we played in the pool for a little while with the kids, and I mowed the lawn, and it was just a non-day. But that was it. That was Father's Day. There wasn't a card. There wasn't a gift. There wasn't any. It was a not. As I said, now look, I firmly believe that I am in the vast majority of American males in this country when Father's Day is just not a day that is acknowledged.
I think you're
special, and I think you should feel special.
I do, but I still think you're in the minority because I think even though Father's Day is greatly underappreciated.
This depression,
right.
Incidentally.
I think most fathers, even when they're slighted,
right,
at least get the obligatory card.
This depression, incidentally, is continuing. It is for whatever reason. I'm probably making too much of it, but it's snowballed. And as my wife knew it was Father's Day because the subject came up the night before with her sister, she was very nice to me. She like rubbed my feet, which I like. She scratched my back, that kind of stuff. You know. Let me do whatever. It got me a drink at one point, which I thought was wonderful.
Okay.
And so I didn't mention this, that this morning when I was leaving after we'd had a discussion about about money.
Translated means a fight.
I looked over and there was my oldest daughter, Catherine, had given me a little card and actually had written her name in it, which is she just turned 5. It's a big deal for her. And I love that card that they got. Yesterday afternoon, late in the day at the grocery store.
Of course.
For the afterthought, known as Dad. Nothing against my kids. It was a wonderful, to get a car.
No, listen.
She was excited about getting. I noticed today, you're going to love this. Right before I came to work, I look over and there's another card that I guess had been purchased for Elizabeth to give me. And it was sitting there, and it hadn't even been signed. It was sitting there, and it had just been purchased. So not only was Father's Day forgotten, not only was the card, but then there was another card that had been purchased. And this is from yesterday. It wasn't, nobody bothered to fill it out, I guess. But it was a specific Father's Day card, so that was my Father's Day. I'm sorry.
Oh, brother.
As, I became apparent, it became more apparent that, the Father's Day in the O'Mara household is one, seriously, my mom called. My mother, who is not obligated to call me on Father's Day, called to wish me Happy Father's Day.
That's nice.
So that was...
Did you mention this to your wife?
I mentioned it the night before. I mentioned... Oh,
I mean, but like, when Sunday rolled around...
No, I haven't. I didn't. I mentioned during the day, I would say a couple of times, I would say, hey, it's Father's Day, great, and I'd be kind of like that, and then, but I mean, it was obvious, I know in my house, I know when something like that, nothing's going to happen anyway. It's not like there's going to be any, fire drill that's going to cause, Father's Day to be changed or anything.
And
like
as
that.
We discussed last week, never is there really the big pomp and circumstance for Father's Day that you have for Mother's Day or even for Grandparents' Day or obviously for a birthday or for an anniversary, but I would think at the very least, if your wife goes out and shops, she would have to run into the advertisements that say, Father's Day, Sunday.
When, for Christmas, my wife bought me a basketball backboard that she was going to set up, and I was hoping that for Father's Day, she might have finished putting that together and put it up, but that didn't happen either, so I was, I was kind of looking at it in the backyard as I was mowing the lawn, and I saw it sitting there because she picked it up last week, and or the week before, and I was hoping that might get put together.
Hold on.
Pardon me?
There's layers here.
Yeah.
This was a gift that she got you when?
Christmas.
And she just picked it up?
A couple of weeks ago, I think. Yeah. A week ago. It hasn't been.
When Mike tells the story, you got it. It's almost like one of those 3 or 4 level cake.
Feeling bad.
It's almost like a trip to the center of the journey of the journey to the center of the earth where there's the many different levels you got to hear this story in.
Yeah. I'm excited. We figured out a place to put it, and we found that out last week. And I was hoping maybe that would happen, but that didn't happen either.
Oh,
so it was
better.
It was a very. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little depressed at the end of the day.
Sure.
But I can't get too depressed and overreact too much because I've got the birthday coming up. I've got the birthday coming up this week.
Well, this will not be your wife calling on the hotline.
I don't know. Let's see.
Your wife has never called the show before. Hello?
You have an AT&T collect call. Caller, at the tone, please say your name.
Jimmy.
Oh. Will you accept charges?
Doesn't sound like my wife.
Yeah.
Say yes or no now.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you for using AT&T.
Good. It's good for me to get off this subject. Before
no,
I get into trouble.
It's bad.
Before I get into trouble.
I want to hear more.
That's it. That's it pretty much in a nutshell. Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, dude.
What's going on?
Jimmy, you, of course, you're divorced from your ex-wife.
Yeah.
Did you receive a Father's Day card yesterday?
No.
From your daughter?
Well, I didn't see Rachel yesterday.
Did you get one in the mail?
No.
I'll get one next weekend when I pick her up.
You're not alone, Mike.
You're not alone.
I did get technically before midnight of last night, I received a card. So I can't,
I know.
But I, it was, the depression really hit me on Saturday night. We were all sitting around, and I looked over and I realized there was someone in the room that had no idea that Father's Day was Sunday. Yeah.
That's bad. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm very depressed.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. But I can't overreact because, you know, I got the big day coming up this week.
Well, you better start, like, writing her notes to remind her that your birthday's coming up this week.
Right now, the way it is, I mean, I sat there today. I was eating a hamburger patty with some cheese on it, just sitting there on a plate. And I'm watching television, and I just was bumming, and I just want to stop bumming out about this because it really will get to me if I think about it too much. But it's a big deal. Big deal. Just like my birthday. Last year was the big 4-0. That was an important birthday to me. This year's birthday means dick to me. It does. It's not like the big one
last year. Father's Day is a day that no matter how it is slighted by the women folk, should not be ignored.
I know. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way.
And damn it, I'll say it. The fault is not with your beautiful children who have just learned how to write their names.
No, not at all. Right.
The fault is not with your beautiful children for whom every day is Father's Day.
I think my daughter might have said to me, really, I think she might have said, what about, how come there's not a kid's day? Which I thought was funny. Yeah. And that's when I informed her that every day is kid's day.
Okay. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, dude.
What's going on?
Everybody, of course, my real life brother, Jim, the Earth Dog.
Hey, Jim.
Are you driving the truck today?
Yeah, I'm up here in Baltimore.
Hey, you're close to home.
He's dangerously close.
Through D.C. tonight.
Pardon me?
I'll be coming through Washington tonight.
Will you just be passing through?
Yeah.
Damn.
All the way down, I got to go up here to Aberdeen and then down past Richmond.
Damn.
Wants to be.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
Damn. I know he wants to be invited.
I could make a detour by your house.
There you go. Made him say it.
I know he wants to be invited. All right. Would it be an overnight stay?
No.
All right. Come on by.
I mean, what the hell?
Why don't you come by the station?
Either way. No, I'd rather have him come by the house. Now, come on by.
It won't be. I got to unload at 11:30 tonight. I wouldn't be in Washington till about 1 or 2 in the morning.
1 or 2 a.m., well, for goodness sakes. I guarantee I'll be fast asleep then.
Leave the door open for me.
Yeah, right, I'll do that. No, really, what's your schedule? Seriously, all kidding aside, you know that you are...
Yeah, right.
Now listen, hold on. I kept a straight face during your discussion.
I know you
about
did.
About Father's Day. Okay?
I know, that's right, absolutely.
So keep a straight face now with me and my brother.
I will.
And I do mean this... From my ticker. Mm-hmm. You are welcome anytime.
Uh-huh.
So how about it?
How about what?
I am offering you the invitation.
Yeah.
To shack up.
Can't stop this time.
What's that in the background? Is that music inside your truck?
No, it's a stupid TV I'm hearing the truck stop.
Oh. Are you showering?
No, I won't do that till later on.
You sound down now, Jimmy.
Are you all right, Jimmy?
I just woke up.
Oh.
I was listening to G. Gordon for a little bit, and he put me to sleep.
Oh, dear.
That'll do it to you. All right, so listen, you're in the immediate area.
Yeah.
All right, but really, there is no way that you could just run by?
No.
Even for a brief visit, which is the kind of visit that I love the best?
No.
The brief visit?
No.
What are you hauling today, Jim?
Frozen meat.
Oh, maybe he could swing by, huh?
I got chicken nuggets and chicken and cheese nuggets and stuff like that.
Oh.
What is the latest? I'm sorry, you just lost my
head. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking maybe you had like some good USDA Prime or something like that.
What is the latest in your soap opera of a life with Mom and Dad?
Oh, geez, they had me back in court last Monday.
Last Monday again back in court.
Yeah.
And why was that?
I didn't go. I don't know what it was about either. I didn't call my attorney yet.
You know, my mom and dad have got this deal where my brother, as you know, has the restraining order against my mom and dad that they can't come within 100 feet of him. My mom and dad went back to court to fight that
right.
Under the grounds that they wanted to see their granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
my brother's daughter, mm-hmm. even though they really don't want to see her, they really just want to have this restriction order mm-hmm. expunged from the record.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's all they really care about is appearances.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, I mean, that's it.
I'm pretty much telling it the way that it is.
Never really cared about seeing Rachel before.
Right.
And they screwed her on her birthday last year. They didn't see her till she was 3 years old.
Mm.
You know.
And I was counseling my brother about this. Was it last week we talked about this? You know, it's like my mom and dad want to get a pissing match with him. And I said, at some point, you just have to back off a little bit. You have to say, you know what? You won the battle. You proved to them that you can stand on your own 2 feet. You got the restraining order against them. If they want to come back into court and make asses out of themselves, you know, let them do it.
Yep.
And if they want to...
It's such a fine line. You know, sometimes if you lay down and you just walk the other way and just say, forget it, you take the high ground, then it just empowers people to keep being jerks. But sometimes it's a good idea. It's very difficult to decide when you're gonna confront and when you're not going to confront.
But with my mom and dad, I mean, and this is the lesson that I hope my brother learns from me, when they finally realized that they had nothing else that they could hold over my head,
mm-hmm.
when they finally realized, I think it was Frida. What did Frida tell you that she told him, Jimmy?
Oh, that she just was... You know, pitied them.
Yeah, said.
You know, she was very sorry for them.
So she was sorry for them.
Really just pissed Francis off.
And once my mom and dad realized that they'd run against this brick wall, that there was really nothing that they could say or do
mm-hmm.
to hurt me. I mean, keep in mind that they sent back all of my baby stuff in a box
right.
and sent me letters saying, you know, sent me back letters saying you're not really our son. You know, you were adopted. Nobody wanted you. We went through all of that, and she called one time, and Frida just said to her, you know what, Fran, we just pity you. You know, we feel bad for you. All of a sudden, it dried up. They stopped bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped trying to get in a pissing match with me, which is what you have to do. You just have to let it go.
I was letting it go after I got the restraining order until they came back into town last month and drug my ass back in court.
I know, but you just...
You know, and it's like you just said, you know, it really pissed Francis off that they went back to court twice, and I guess last Monday the restraining order is still in place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have heard from my attorney.
Right, so like I
know, just eating them alive, man.
Like I told you, take some solace out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do. I'm enjoying that.
All right.
Oh, I don't care.
No, you do care.
If they want to see Rachel, fine. Like it's like we talked about. They'll see her in August when they come up, and it'll slowly dwindle away.
So the thing my mom and dad are trying to do is they're trying to invoke. Maybe you've read about this, the grandparents rule.
Right. Yeah.
This thing that's gotten a lot of pub recently.
Right. Right.
No, they don't even want to do that. The attorney told them last month that's what they should do. And Sam stood up in court. Oh, no, no. We want the whole restraining order done away with. Mm-hmm. And the judge asked him, well, if you don't care to see your son, why don't you just go and take the ex-wife back through court, divorce court, and get visitation on grandparents' law?
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. They want to go get the whole restraining order done away with.
Because that's, you know, and in that way, I told my brother, that's where you don't realize. That's where you got Sam and Fran
mm-hmm.
by the short hairs.
Right.
That all they really care about is appearances and what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's killing them
sure.
that you've got a restraining order against them and that people know about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, congratulations, you won.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you what the police report said when they tried to serve Francis.
What?
You know.
No, what?
Oh, well, she didn't answer the door. The cop could see him inside the house. So the cop pulled down the street and waited. He saw Francis get in the car and leave. He tried pulling Francis over. She refused to stop.
Wow.
And then once he pulled her over, she refused to give him the driver's license and a whole bit till he threatened to put her ass in jail.
My mother.
Amazing.
Hey, everybody, it's my mother.
Dude. Wow.
Now, I will tell you that I did not send Sam a Father's Day card yesterday.
No.
I did not. And I'm assuming that you didn't either, right?
Oh, no.
Right, okay.
No.
All right, well, listen, we were right in the middle of hearing a gut-wrenching story from Mike about Father's Day.
Yeah.
So I've got to get back to that now.
Uh-oh. It's the forgotten day in my house, Jimmy.
Oh.
Yeah.
You didn't get anything yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't either. Not even from Jamie.
Well, see, I mean, I would venture to say, I know that, that you think that it might be like an observed holiday. I don't believe I am in any distinct minority.
But technically, though,
I think I might have forgotten my dad's Father's Day, like even when I was into my teens and stuff like that.
Jamie, the girl you're living with, though, you don't have any kids with her, right?
No, but, you know, she didn't even yet. I was on the road. I left yesterday morning about 10. You know, we had breakfast and all that, and she never even once said Happy Father's Day. For Mother's Day, I got her a card. I got her a present, whole nine yards.
Sure.
You know,
All right.
She didn't say boo.
You know, here
I called Rachel yesterday morning.
You know what? You don't want to. I don't want you. Here's the deal. Here's what I think. I don't think you want to realize just how beautifully you were treated.
You know what? I think
and
you're right.
And you were treated above and beyond the call of duty.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that. That normally I come in on Monday and I bitch about how awful my weekend's
right.
But
right.
In actuality today, I'm going to bore you with how fantastic my Father's Day was yesterday. Really, they went out of the way to make yesterday a great day for
right.
me. Really?
That's great.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry. All right. I love you.
All right.
Call me.
Okay.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank goodness that hall has to keep going all the way through D.C. tonight. Thank goodness.
And it came at a good time because I don't want to go overboard about this. Just because I got bummed out on Father's Day,
I had an
overall pretty decent weekend, which were really the middle of this weekend was the party for the teachers the other night, which was really a good time. I had a great time. I had a wonderful time.
Here's the hotline again. Hello?
Judy Bear.
Yes, darling.
We have a question here.
Yes.
My sister and I.
Yes.
Hi, Mike. I'm sorry about Father's Day.
That's okay, Frida. No problem.
Did your wife remember her own dad?
I don't know.
That's a good question. Did your wife,
I'll have to find that out.
Did your wife remember her dad?
That was our question.
I don't know.
I mean, if she remembered her own dad, then that would be bad.
Then that would be bad.
That would be just a slam on you in particular. If she forgot her own dad, whom I know she loves to death, I mean, her dad's a sweetie,
right.
Well, then it would just be forgetfulness.
I don't know. Ken might not have even been in town, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'd have to find that out.
Well, you have to research that.
I will. You know, I will. That'll be the first question I ask.
You should call. I know you don't like calling your wife on the air, but you should call her during the break and just ask her if she sent your dad a Father's Day card.
No, there's no need to do that. No real need to do that today.
A little hostility left over, maybe.
No, me? No.
Yeah.
No, little not bit. At all. Not at all.
A little bit.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't a common, you know, just an oversight, although my sister said, you know, there's so many advertisements, but, you know, I'm sure she just didn't bump into any.
It's impossible to miss.
I suppose.
And listen, who would have thought that I'd be coming in? I'm the happy one.
Oh, you're so spoiled.
I am.
I was telling Don that I think that I am definitely the majority of people, of fathers in this country, and that Don is the exception, that he was treated so handsomely with the gift.
Well, I know
the
that
gift
even
is the
when
key.
I've been plenty of years, I've been, mad at my husband, but I've never forgot my dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you've ever forgotten Father's Day, even when you've been mad at me.
No,
you know, though,
I was trying to make it not sound so bad.
I'm not going to sit here, but I'll tell you right now, nobody loved their father more than I love my father. But Father's Day in my house, too, I think it got forgotten in my house.
I would give you a pass, just like give your kids a pass,
mm-hmm.
that it's really something,
it's a
wife's duty.
Just like Mother's Day is not the kids' job as much as it's the, but it is the kids when they get to be adults.
When they're adults, exactly.
Right. Yeah, but like if you were a teenager and you forgot that it was, you know, Father's Day.
I did.
It was your mom's job, you know.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right.
To let
right.
you know.
Right. Cool.
Say, hey,
cool.
Well, that's
Father's
I'll
Day.
Have to research that.
That's true.
I'll have to research that.
If you married a teenager, I'd agree with that.
All right, honey. Love you.
All right. We know you. We know you're a great dad, though. That's common knowledge.
Love you.
Happy Father's Day to both of you dads.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right. Goodbye, sweet pea.
How's your drunk sister doing?
It wasn't her. She that was tipsy. It was me.
I know. I was kidding.
All right.
Last night we ended the Father's Day
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here we go.
By having a martini. Oh. My sister-in-law, Robin, had a martini.
Right.
My wife had a martini and then another martini.
Ooh.
And then, I believe, started her third martini.
Whoa!
And it was at that point that my wife was just sitting at the kitchen table, just belching. just burping right out loud.
That's great.
Right out loud.
And I mean,
if there was ever an endorsement for not over-drinking,
sure.
It was like looking in a mirror at what they must see when I have too much to drink. Because I was sitting there last night with her, and I just said, you're bomb. bomb. No, I'm not bombed.
Not a bit.
No, she was. Not a bit.
So was her sister. It's a festive weekend, though. I mean, overall, the party I went to Saturday night was great, and then I went to a going-away party for a friend on Friday night, too. So, I mean, it was, you know, outside of the depression, it's pretty good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. How are you doing today?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Excuse me, pardon me if I'm wrong here, Mike, but I'm thinking back, way, way back. Ooh, I think it was Mother's Day.
Hold on a second. Yes, Robbie.
On that outside line is Laura O'Mara, and if Mike would like to take the call on the air, she'll go on the air.
Okay,
depending
yes,
on
I'll
how
say,
you
yes.
want to do
you
it.
You know, I'll take it on the air. She wants to go on the air.
She said if you want her to go on the air, she'll
no,
go on
no,
the air.
No, no, you tell her
herself.
If she wants to go on the air, she can come
she
on the air.
She said not particularly.
Oh, she doesn't want
but
to go on
But she will go on the air.
Rob, hold on. All right, Mike's going to pick up the phone. This will be a first.
Mike, I can't even manage my own marriage. I can't manage yours.
Hello?
You're off the air. Do you want to go on the air?
Hello?
Why? Would you want to come on the air? Okay, all right. We'll come on in the air and say that, then.
Oh, excellent.
Wow.
Excellent.
Please. Hold on there, okay?
Sure thing.
Hold on. We have a first
All right, here
now.
We go. This is the first.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
This is my wife on the air for the first time. Yes.
Hello, Laura.
Sorry
Hello.
Under
I
these circumstances.
I have a cold, so I sound really horrible.
Okay.
Hi.
All right, you were saying that you can't believe I'm trashing you.
You are an ungrateful you-know-what.
What now? Because I got every inch of my body rubbed?
Yes, and we got you a Father's Day card, and Catherine wrote her name on it, and Elizabeth wrote, I love you. Oh, of course, I helped her, but...
No, Elizabeth didn't write
it. Yes, remember she brought it up to you at night?
Well, what about the other card that I saw sitting on the kitchen counter this
That was from
today?
My father, who I forgot also.
Ah, okay, So that answers that question. You forgot.
And I'm sick. Don't you feel bad for me? Poor me.
Now, I have a question, you know, because I want to get it answered once and for all. Because really, when we went over to Em and Lou's on Saturday night,
yeah.
I don't remember how the subject of Father's Day came off.
Yeah.
I don't know who brought it. I might have brought it up. But when you reacted right...
Emily brought it up.
That's what I thought. Emily brought it up.
And now Emily is Laura's sister,
You're
right?
Her twin sister.
Right.
And when Emily brought it up, the only question I would have, when your reaction, you legitimately at that moment didn't realize that...
Because Emily said to you...
Yes?
Has Laura said anything about tomorrow? That could mean a million different things.
But did you have any idea that Sunday was Father's Day? You did.
There's
the
answer. On and off.
Okay.
Did you have a card, though, for Mike on Sunday morning?
Not on Sunday morning. How technical do we want to get here? It was purchased on Sunday.
Yeah. Technically, if you counted midnight last night.
Oh, not fair. 8 o'clock.
Well, I'm saying. It was about 8 o'clock.
But it was heartfelt.
I got it at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. That is low.
Well, maybe if he were a nicer father.
Oh.
No.
We got to have her on the show more often.
No, a little less golf equals a little better Father's Day.
Oh, no. God damn, am I loving this.
Oh, boy.
And
is
Britta,
what?
Didn't even stick up for me. Although, I appreciate that she called and asked about my dad because I forgot, so now I feel much better.
So the Father's Day card that I saw is that you're going to send
That's
that to your father.
Daddy.
That's for your daddy.
He's okay. A great father.
All right, well now...
Doesn't play golf.
All right, okay. Thank you, honey.
Love you.
Thank you.
I want to say something. Pandora's box has now been opened.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the next time you come in and...
And trash you on the air?
Yeah, give you foot rubs, head rubs, arm rubs.
Did I not say that, though?
I even rubbed your rear end.
Did I?
Oh, my.
It was not. you were giving me a back rub, and I was lying down. And it happened to touch my rear end. It was not a rear end rub.
By the way, the girls at Louis's school say hi.
Okay, well, say hi to them right back at them. And, you know, I am a good... Please just don't leave this conversation making me more depressed by telling
you
all of my...
You are a fabulous golfer. Oh, and let me
just
say...
Did you say golfer?
She said you're a fabulous golfer.
Let me just say to
Wait
you
Wait a
also.
Minute. You said a fabulous golfer.
Let me also say...
You're trashing me.
Mike, you are a fabulous golfer.
I am a fabulous... We won our match on Saturday.
Somebody shot on Saturday.
I shot 81 on Saturday. And my partner shot 78. But, I mean, really...
Wait a minute, Mike.
What?
1 minute.
What?
Okay. Let's also just see here that Saturday... What happened Saturday morning?
I played golf.
Yeah, but what happened before you played golf?
Before I played golf.
I had to bring some furniture upstairs, and I asked you to help me, and...
Oh, that's right, and I whined and complained about it, yes.
And you said, now I'm going to have such a bad round of golf.
Yeah, because I was...
So thinking, I said, fine, I'll get some other man to help me.
You know what,
you're giving one man... I'll tell you one thing,
This is a glimpse behind
what
everybody pictures is, you know, Nirvana, because Mike comes in every week and just gives his side of what happened.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's not going to be happening ever again.
You're welcome.
No, I think what Don was referring to, honey, is that I'm normally very complimentary.
Yeah. Okay, and here's just like the icing on the cake.
Yes.
I love you, Don.
Okay. Oh, I love you also.
Thank you,
love you also.
Are you going to leave me like with that comment about me being a bad father?
No, I love you. You're a wonderful father.
I love you too.
And next time, just be a little bit more appreciative of what you get.
Wait to turn it
now
around.
Now wait. Now yeah. So appreciative of what I get. What did I get from you?
See, you're the type of guy that if you want something, you buy it before you ever even mention that you want it.
Yes, but once again, what did I get from you on Father's Day?
So you got a nice card, and you got lots.
No, I got a card from Catherine that you got at the grocery store yesterday afternoon.
Yes, but it's still the thought.
I'm appreciative of that. I'm appreciative of that.
And I also gave you lots of massages.
You gave me tender... I will tell you, and I said that...
And I let you sleep all day.
I told you that you gave me tender, loving care all day long, all day, and I said you did that.
I let you nurse your hangover.
Right.
I let you alone, which you said on the air was the best Father's Day
ever. Yeah, you brought that up to me, too. That's right. The men want to be left alone. Stand by that statement.
So
but it just would have been nice to have a little opener, you know, in the morning. A little card, maybe, from you first thing in the morning on Sunday. It would have been nice.
Laura, do you have the hotline number?
No.
Don's going to make sure you get it, Don.
Anytime, listen, absolutely. See, Mike has always told me that you didn't want to go on the air. So
I never thought she did.
Anytime.
And she, right up until a minute ago, she said, I'll only go on if you want me to go on. But she said, I can't believe you're trashing me. I said, well, do you want to go on? And she said, yes.
Yes, well, anytime you would like your side of the story to be heard.
You know, I will tell you this.
A friendly ear here.
I will tell you this, though. Laura, I will tell you, with all, you know, the fact that we are on opposite sides of this issue, I would say for your debut performance on the air, I've got to give you kudos.
I think
you've done a...
She knocked you out, Mike.
She did. She made me more depressed, but in a way, I'm proud of her because she did a good job on the air.
Why, thank you. And I'm
What?
I sound horrible today because I'm sick.
You do sound like you got a little frog in your throat, Tim.
Yeah.
All right.
Placed there by you.
Why was the place there by me?
Because I'm sad.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I think, you know, we'll agree to disagree on this one.
And okay, Gordon.
I love you. I love you.
Hey,
I love you very much. And I'm very proud of you for your appearance on the show. I was too angry at you to be, to be nervous for you, which I normally would be. And normally I'd be, like, jumping in, wouldn't I, and finishing your sentences and
stuff. You're a good golfer, Mike. Well, you're starting to do that now a little bit.
I'm a good golfer.
Right now you're starting to do that just a little bit.
Starting to come around. Well, see, I love her, and I can't help it, and I'm getting defensive, but I'm, you know.
Don't be defensive.
But that's great. And you did say that I was a good father, which is all I really care about during this discussion.
And I guess a little something monetarily would have helped, right?
A little gift would have been nice.
Okay.
A little something. Don got what'd you get? A nice box of cigars?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. I guess Frida loves you.
A sleeve of golf balls.
You know, token little thing would have been for that.
I
know
my balls.
I know my family.
Giving an alcoholic a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like giving an alcoholic a drink. You mean, I know I play a lot of golf. I understand that. All right.
All right. I just had to correct you.
Okay, well, I love you.
I love you, too, yes.
Okay, you take care.
Okay.
And your birthday's going to be wonderful now.
Right, yeah. Yes, hi, Charlie. On. Charlie Broyle, you know, you've gotten everybody all excited here. Everybody's coming into the studio now.
Hi, Laura.
You know, I'll tell you, this has worked for you guys for how many years? How long have you been married doing it this way?
19 years this year.
Maybe this is the way we do it. Maybe this is the way we do it. Oh, completely out in the open in a public forum.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, goodbye. Thank you for calling.
Oh, anytime, Don.
Hold on. Robbie, give her the hotline, please.
That's my wife, everyone.
That's Laura.
The secret number. That's Mrs. Mike O'Mara.
As you like her to be referred to as.
Always. No need to go with first names. That's Mrs. Michael S. O'Mara.
Robbie, really, give her the...
Charlie's going to give it to her.
Oh, Charlie. Oh, Mike, Charlie's going
to
give
you
it
know,
to her.
You know, I always thought, really, I swear to God, she's always told me I don't want to go on the air, and I always thought she'd be very uptight and have a, you know, be at a loss for words.
No,
and,
of course not.
All it has to be is she's got to be going against me. If she's going against me, then that's fine. Then there's all the nervousness goes out the window. And when it's doing battle with her husband, she demonstrates the skills that she shows at home.
You're a good golfer.
I'm a good golfer. She said that. That was like a Freudian slip. She was trying to say, I'm a good father. Yeah, she went, you're a good golfer.
Oh, that was a beautiful moment.
I enjoyed it.
That was great.
I enjoyed it. Very proud of her.
Let's dive through the rest of these calls. Okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Bless you, Godfather. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
What did that mean?
Wasn't it on Mother's Day that the great golf father disappeared and went golfing and then...
No, I think that was on her birthday.
Was that when you called her a big C or quit acting like a C?
No, you called her a bitch, and that was Mother's Day like 3 years ago, I think.
Oh, 3 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
Long time fan. Well, didn't you give her like a Pop-Tart with a heart on it for Mother's Day or something like that?
You know, I hate guys like you that have these great memories. Yeah. You know, and don't you think I've been vanquished sufficiently? I mean, yes, I did give her a Pop-Tart.
Listen, now you know what it feels like to be me, to
absolutely
have the wife calling in, screaming about what a schmuck you are.
You know, the thing is, though, I brought her that Pop-Tart in bed, and I acknowledged, I think I wrote like a little poem, too, and I acknowledged the day. That's the key. It doesn't matter. Even if I'd gotten a little cardboard cutout thing, if I'd gotten it first thing in the morning, it would have been a different story. Not as was demonstrated there, 8 o'clock at night.
Which, incidentally, was worse than your original estimate of 5 p.m.
Right. And then the card that I thought was the Elizabeth's card for me was actually for her own father.
Yes. So there you go. That question was answered also.
Yes, yes. But I still, you know, it's weird. I guess that's what love is, because as much as I am still depressed about Father's Day, I thought I enjoyed, yes, I'm sure you do. Okay, you do. It's written all over your face. Sometimes you actually enjoy getting dissed by your wife on the air.
Well.
You know, sometimes.
Because I get to say what I really want to say to her.
Exactly.
That's the main reason
exactly.
I've always put her on the air.
That was good. I don't want it to be like a goddamn habit or anything like that.
Well, no, I think
right
as
now
you two grow into it, that
yes
eventually, okay, you know, she'll be able to say more what she really thinks, and you'll be able to say more what you really think.
Sure.
And yes.
Absolutely.
I'm all for this.
It was interesting. I'll tell you that.
I'm all for this.
I'm feeling too good about it.
So it begins.
Yeah. Yeah, so it begins.
Right.
The age-old policy. The policy of 15 years. Ended today.
Message or not, whatever you want. Except for you, Bart, you must leave a message, so I don't worry. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, I was going to get some feedback from the Master Cunny, but she obviously is not available
well,
now.
Let me simply say that I believe this was an exception to the rule today.
Well,
okay.
You'll
this
make sure of that, won't you?
Oh, God.
A little hearing aid tonight when you get home.
Oh, God.
A little hearing aid with a 5-iron.
Yeah, right.
Take care of that.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
5 pounds. Clear these lines.
Oh, my God.
Let's try to give away $500 right now with the secret sound. It does lie straight ahead if you are the 100th caller.
All right.
Call Toya, call Lisa. They're standing by at 877-365-3636.
This is the story of a girl who called...
The home of the pumpkin shampoo, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, call 100 times.
All right.
I just saw Buzz something funny. It really, I mean, it's real life with Buzz.
Right.
It's funny that yesterday, I guess, sometime during Father's Day, I said something to Frida about what a nice day I was having. And I said... you know, a lot of... No.
Thanks, though.
I'm going somewhere with
okay,
this.
Okay, all right.
Hang
all right.
On.
But I just thanks.
And I was saying something like, I'm glad that there's a Father's Day because I really love being Bart's dad. And we were going back and forth. And she said, well, Father's Day is not only for fathers. And I said, really? And she said, I bet that Buzz's cats got him a Father's Day card. And we were walking down the hall, and I just said to Buzz, Buzz, did your cats get you a Father's Day card?
Right.
And the answer is...
Yes. Yes, they did.
Yeah, thanks to...
Affirmative. Little,
thank you and thank you.
A little toolkit that I've been wanting.
Well, you know, I thought it couldn't get any worse, and now it's gotten worse. But technically, I did get the card from both my daughters.
And the back rub.
And I didn't know that the I love you part was written by Elizabeth, which was really written by my wife. So, right. I mean, and then Catherine signing her own name. So I did get the card.
That was not sent... That story was not sent to make you feel worse.
But it just happened to. So, I mean, that's all right. I mean, I understand that. It just happened to make me feel worse.
Goofy. Then he got a card from his cat. Right. I bet you get birthday presents from
Rob,
your cat.
Rob, you know, I didn't ask you because you are a father-to-be. Did you get a card yesterday?
No, and as a matter of fact, I baited. I told Carrie yesterday morning, is there something you'd like to tell me? And she said... Nothing that wasn't said to me on Mother's Day, because we knew then, too.
Touche.
No, I guess it doesn't work with the unborn. But okay. if it'll make you feel any unborn. Better. Yes. I also forgot to call my dad yesterday, but I'd already given him a gift, so I don't know where that weight came on.
All right, well, I'm starting to feel better. So I'm starting to feel better, maybe by Wednesday.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, caller 100,
right.
I am.
Yes, you are. What is your name, my friend?
Matt.
Where are you from, Matt?
Arlington, Virginia.
Matt, you've won the $50 gift certificate to the World of A&E catalog. Watch Biography, all premiere June on A&E. New biography every night in June on A&E. Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
Yes, I am.
$500 online, a secret sound number 4. We'll play it for you now. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Not anybody in particular. I'm just going to sing an old standard.
Okay, as the spiraling depression continues, we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is, a common everyday sound. Heard around the home. Not the sound of a Father's Day card being opened, however. For five bills, what is that sound?
Is it a key going into a lock and then lock turning?
No.
Oh, we're sorry.
Thanks, guys.
Not a chance. Thank you, though. And please don't forget that every guest
it's
is a
for you.
For you. We do have another edition of As the World Ahearns for you today.
Ah, we had a cliffhanger on Friday, so some questions might be answered today.
We will continue our radio soap opera. Do let me just tell you about the weekend, and I will try not to depress you by telling you what a great Father's Day my family laid out for me.
I know.
I mean, it was really nice.
Nice.
Woke up yesterday morning. First thing, my wife came over. Gave me some sugar.
Right.
Then said, come on. Took me out in the living room. Gave me a wonderful card.
Right.
Then gave me a box of cigars to die for. Fantastic cigars. Yeah. Hard to find. I love that. My son gets up. He comes in. He loves me up a little bit. I get a card from him, a couple of books from him.
Right.
They got me that Kona coffee from Hawaii that I love. They let me sit in the house and drink coffee and smoke a cigar and read the newspaper all at the same time.
And you normally don't get the privilege of smoking inside the house.
No, normally I'm banished to outside.
Right.
And then my wife had some friends come over, some like cousin-type relatives come over.
Mm-hmm.
She got rid of them, lickety-split.
Good.
Said, it's your day. What do you want to do? I said, all I want to do, I want to go to the beach.
There you go.
So that's all we did. The three of us went to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Could not have had a nicer day.
That's good.
And on the beach... Everything Daddy wanted.
Everything. Did she go up and get the stuff that you wanted? Like, did she do all the running?
No. We made Bart do the running.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, that's okay.
After all, he is the son and I am the father.
As long as you don't have to do it, that's all that matters.
No, and I didn't... Trust me. Yesterday... I didn't do dick yesterday.
There you go. I didn't do that either. I mean, I have to say, I didn't do anything yesterday that I didn't want to do. I mean, that was because I just felt like it. Okay? I could have, that was totally by choice. Mowing the lawn, I enjoy. That's a job that I actually like.
No, the day was just great. We get done with the beach, and we come back home, and she says, what do you want? Do you want to go out? Do you want me to make you something? I said, nah, you know what? Chinese is fine. Mm-hmm. So we had Chinese food, and my sister-in-law was there with the kids, and we eat. And they got drunk, and they were drunker than me, and it was just, it was nice. And even into last night,
right?
The Father's Day privileges continued into last night when it became 9 o'clock, and my wife said, turn on channel 501 because I want to watch Sex in the City.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I hate that show. And she said, you know what? Father's Day.
Don't worry about it.
So really what it was in your house was a true national holiday.
Yes.
A respected,
yes,
wonderful national holiday.
Yes. Ooh. It was fantastic.
As
day.
It should be in households all over America.
I have absolutely no complaints.
That's good.
They treated me great.
I am happy for you.
That's great.
It was wonderful.
I am happy for you. There you go.
I got two cards from my kid, as a matter
that's
of fact.
That's good. That's two cards.
Two cards.
That's good.
One goofy card and one serious card.
Did you get just the cigars, or did you also get a card from your wife?
Oh, no, I got a card from my wife,
and
too.
The cigars.
And the cigars.
And the coffee.
And the coffee.
Okay.
And then my kid got me some books, and what made that nice is because he's buying stuff with his own money.
That's cool.
And we're very proud of Bart. He starts his first day of work today.
Cool.
As a matter of fact, he is working... As I am speaking to you.
I won't ask you where he's working, but what, is he doing the job that you had said he would do?
He is doing something related to what I... Okay. You know, I don't want to let everything
out
of the bag.
Yeah, sure, I understand, yeah.
But he's got himself a job. He's working 5 days a week, 8 hours a day.
Let's tell the truth. He's doing the new weekend show here at WJ.
That's right.
He could.
They wish that they had him. Yeah, you're right, Buzz. He could.
Yeah.
So he was jacked up about his first day at work.
He's a little too old for that, Buzz.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I forgot. However, I do want to tell you a couple of things about Father's Day in Ocean City that have nothing to do with my family and the great way that they treated me, but just more as to a testament as to what a white trash capital Ocean City, Maryland is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, I love it.
It has become, really.
Yes, I love Ocean City. I go there all my vacations. We got a place there. I love it. I love going to the boardwalk, but it's getting to be so goddamn white trashy that yesterday... Well, let me just tell all the young boys with their fake tattoos that Marky Mark look where you wear boxer shorts and then you wear shorts on top of it, but you pull the shorts all the way down to your crotch level.
So your ass is hanging out.
No, not so your ass is hanging out.
But I mean, your underwear is hanging out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is. That is so 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's good.
Please stop it.
What is the new look?
There is no at least
is the new look like just wearing normal pants?
No, at least in Ocean City, the new look is the Marky Mark look.
Oh, God.
Where they've all started doing it again.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I swear to God, it sounded like such an old fart yesterday. We were just laying on the beach, and every time one of them would walk by, I turned to my wife and I'd say, God damn, look at those kids. Don't they know that's 5 years ago? And right. Actually, to one of them, I actually said, pull your pants up.
Yeah, good for you.
Pull your pants up. Of course, I said it. The beach was jammed. It was like the 4th of July weekend.
So everybody's simultaneously hiking their drawers up.
No, they just turned to look.
Right.
They didn't hike their drawers up. And as a matter of fact, one of them, you know, gave me the old finger.
Sure.
He didn't know where the comet had come from.
What has replaced that underwear hanging out look? I don't see as much of it as I used to.
Should have been in Ocean City yesterday. That's all there was.
It's huge, huge pants, I think, cinched at the belt.
Okay.
And also, they wear shorts now that are, like, huge and loose, but even longer than your knee.
Okay.
Bell bottoms, right. But they're short.
Right, all right.
Well, yesterday, I saw none of that. All I saw was this old, you know, the boxer shorts on top of the shorts. And it was like, just come on, that's so... Really, 5 years ago, and then
you realize that by doing that, even though it's 5 years ago, you're still you didn't like it 5 years ago either.
No, I didn't.
And it does kind of recreate the way you know you're becoming kind of an old fart.
At least 5 years ago, like Marky Mark was doing it in videos and stuff. I mean, you don't even see rappers doing that anymore in their videos.
Well, I react the same way if I'm in an intersection and someone comes up alongside of me and you hear. I'll turn around, and the look that I give, I'm sure, is the kind of look that I would have gotten if I had loud music turned up and there was some oldster, you know, I give that same look, which is just like, well, what the hell do you need it that loud for?
That doesn't get me, but the clothes just, it just oogied me out. Really wanted to say something, and right after I got done bitching about everybody's appearance, we went up on the boardwalk, and I said, you know what I'd like? And, of course, my family, because it was, you know, Father's Day, said, what would you like? I said, I want to walk down to that lemonade spot where they have this, the best lemonade, Love's Lemonade, on the boardwalk.
Did they carry you down there?
They would have if I asked, Mike. And it was about a mile walk, and it was a bit of a hike, and I said, come on, come with me. And normally they would have bitched and said, go on, go yourself. But we were all walking down together, and I was just getting the thought of these boys with the underpants hanging down out of my mind. And also, I was mad about the fact that guys no longer seem to wear bathing suits. That guys now just wear, like, Nike shorts when they go in the ocean.
Right.
Hell, I mean, I'm not a homo, but, like, I keep seeing guys... nuts and stuff.
Oh, because if you wear, like, regular shorts, the material, like, fuses around the whole package.
Yeah, and I mean, they
yeah,
wear,
that's
like...
crap. I
they
hate
wear,
that.
Like, mesh, nylon shorts.
Well, see, that's why bathing suits were our bathing suits, because what bathing suits have is the mesh on the inside so that you do not see the package when you get out of the water.
And I guess they do that because they want girls to
see... look at their package.
To see their nuts, but I don't want to see their nuts.
No, no.
I would go between seeing the boys with the, you know, with the Marky Mark and the guys with the nuts hanging out, and then, oh, we saw some women yesterday. God damn, these women need a bikini area waxing.
Oh.
So bad. There was this one woman. She had to be from Tehran. Because,
oh,
first off, they had the, a bunch of towel heads there.
Right.
And they had their camp made.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say camp, what I mean is they came with the tent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They had these cool chairs that not only folded out to become beach chairs, but they had a little footstool there.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little TV going.
Perhaps indicating coming from a desert area.
Yeah, well, I think so. They took off their
say
saris.
That in the nicest possible way.
They took off the saris. You know, the girls were, the women, as they walked onto the beach, had those things that they draped themselves in.
Yes.
And
saris are Indian, though.
Well.
So it might have been India. Were they multicolored? Were they brightly colored?
Yes.
Or were they
were not black.
It might have been an Indian family.
Well, the guys had
turbans,
towel heads. Yeah,
well, turbans are Hindus. Those they could have been Sikhs or Hindus,
so,
probably. I think something like that.
They're making their way down the beach, and we're just sitting there watching them as they erect this fantastic camp where they're going to get everything set up. We're about 10 feet away from us. The girls take off these saris, and the way that Frida and I were sitting. They were sitting directly opposite of us, okay? Mm-hmm. So Frida and I both sitting in our chairs reading. Bart was playing on the ocean. These two babes, and I use the word babe very loosely, they turn towards us, and they sit like this.
Look.
They're sitting in the chair, and they got their legs...
So they kind of sit...
spread wide open like they're really relaxing, like, oh, this feels...
Kind of the lotus position.
This feels so good. And they were in these little beach chairs, and we were 10 feet away, and I said to Frida... My God, will you look at that pubic hair? Will you look at, I mean, I'm not talking about one strand,
right.
Two strand. I'm talking about...
A toupee coming out of either side of the bathing suit?
Yeah, like looking at some guy's hairy armpits. And both of these women had it.
Right.
And neither one of them was shy about it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it was so bad, when they got up, when they stood up, you could still see.
Oh my
the
God!
Hair. That's how
wow!
That's how bushy it was,
and you just couldn't help but stare.
No, that we spent maybe a half hour just looking.
Were they outside of the hair? Were they? Did they have good bodies for bikinis?
No,
no,
they didn't have bikinis. They had on one piece.
Very good.
So we got done with all of that. We started to make the walk down the boardwalk to get the kind of lemonade that I like, and. As we were walking, maybe past 7th Street, 6th Street, a guy was coming the other way of the boardwalk, and he walked about 10 feet, stopped, and threw up.
Oh.
Just threw up right in the middle of the boardwalk. Then
it's the place you want to be.
Kept walking. Just kept going. Now, at this point, he's like...
That is so disgusting.
He's 30 feet away when we first see him just stop.
Does he look like he might be someone who maybe is...
Oh, he's effed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So does he look like is he a homeless person or
no?
Just a guy that maybe had spent too much time in the bar.
He was wearing a Seniors Week T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
So this guy.
Oh, so it was a kid drinking.
So this guy, he's walking up the boardwalk about 30 feet away, first time, and very matter of factly just stops.
Right.
Head down. Vomit comes out. Pile of vomit.
Oh.
Looks up. Keeps going. Now he's maybe 20 feet away from us.
At least he could go down to the beach where he could cover it up with sand.
And again, the same thing, 20 feet away. Stops, head down, puke, looks up like nothing, walks right along. Now, I said to Frida, if he pukes again... We're never coming to Ocean City again.
Two pukes are okay, but the third time, you are boycotting Ocean City.
The first puke was 30 feet away. The second puke was 20 feet away. As it comes closer to where he's going to get to us, I keep thinking, is he going to puke in front of us? We move over to the side. The guy walks by, without puking. And I thought, well, the show is over.
Right.
We continued walking. We had walked maybe 20 seconds, and we hear from behind us, people go, ow! And we turn, and this time, it is a volcano of vomit that is coming out of this guy's mouth.
Oh.
He is actually bent over with his hands on his knees doing this.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And this right is, in the middle of everybody.
Yeah, this is in front of the taffy place.
Oh, my God.
In front of the old-time antique photo place.
Are there any authorities nearby?
Not a one to be found.
No, there are laws about that. It's called public drunkenness.
Not a one to be found.
Oh,
and
my
I said
God.
There, you know, this is it.
Have a funnel cake.
For Ocean City. This is it. So we went to the lemonade place.
Did you walk back along the beach instead of the boardwalk?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And when we got to the place where we had our towels, we stopped in and I picked a copy of the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a newspaper to read yesterday. And there was a story in there, Buzz. Maybe you have this story because it comes from Philadelphia.
Okay.
From the Pennsylvania area. About a guy. And I wish I would have kept it, but it was windy yesterday and the paper was blowing all around and I don't know what happened to it. The gist of the story is the guy was at some big concert.
Mm-hmm.
The guy went to a porta potty. Now, this is not an urban legend. This was a story that was in the Philadelphia Daily News.
Right.
The guy went to the porta potty to do his business.
Right.
His keys fell inside the porta potty.
Right.
When the guy reached in.
Oh, I'm going to puke.
I take it back. He didn't reach in. What he did was he took off his shoes and his socks,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to get into the porta potty.
Oh, my God.
To get his keys out.
Oh, my God.
And the way they wrote the story, it was a hot, humid day, a concert event with maybe 50,000 people.
I'm ill. And, the guy, now that guy, there's another and, guy that had to be wasted if he was doing that.
And the porta potty had been used.
Yes.
Meaning by not you
oh my,
story?
At a concert. Yeah.
Not only number one, number two. The guy, he steps inside.
Oh my God!
He takes off his pants and his shoes. He steps inside the porta potty. He cannot reach down to find his keys, and he realizes that the toilet seat is stuck around his middle.
Oh my God!
Meaning he is stuck inside the porta potty. With the poo, with the pee, for 45 minutes until somebody finds him.
With no pants.
Yeah, with no pants and no shoes
he
on.
He had no pants on.
Right.
Tell me, he wasn't a little
you
wasted.
You have that story?
Yeah, we did the story last Thursday with
I
the kicker.
I didn't remember it. You know, that's how much attention I paid.
Right, well, we're on our way out the door at that time.
It,
so.
It was the oh my God,
yeah.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
So, I'm reading this. And I was reading this out loud to Frida. My apologies,
that's
Buzz.
Right,
you know,
right.
I often don't pay attention on this show. And I said, God damn, I got to give this story to Buzz.
Right.
I said, this is a fantastic, you know. Not
well, Buzz gets his props for being on the cutting edge there.
Not knowing that you already had the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I got to get this to Buzz.
Did they arrest the guy?
The police rescued the guy after some kids heard him yelling for help.
Yeah, the story in the newspaper says the guy had been in there for 45 minutes.
He had to be out of his mind. I mean, you have to be half
sure.
In the bag to even think about doing something like that.
So I was reading this story out loud to Frida. I said, this is a perfect story to end our perfect day on the beach with the guy puking and the lady with the hairy pubes.
And on your day that you're never going back to Ocean City.
She says to me, if you think that is gross, and she reaches into her bag, and she says, you should read this book that I'm reading right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't remember the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book by a famous New York chef, and it might be called Chef's Confidential or Cooker's Confidential.
Okay.
This book that my wife is reading knocked me on my ass.
About what goes on in the kitchen?
Yeah. She started reading me. I mean, I know that I've lectured you time and time again about...
Yeah, don't get mad.
Don't send food back.
Right.
Don't get mad at your server. She started reading me. And apparently this guy says it not only goes on in crappy restaurants... It
goes on
in
the very best
restaurants. But in good restaurants. That one thing you should never do is order brunch on a weekend. And there are two reasons for that. The first reason is that the people who are working there are the crappiest employees because all the good employees either work on Friday night or Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to work Sunday morning, so you get the worst people. Second reason not to have brunch is that when you order, like, hollandaise sauce on your eggs Benedict, the way they make that is what they do is they take, like, you know when you sit in a restaurant and they give you bread and butter?
Yeah.
You know the butter that you don't use?
Yeah.
They take all of that butter that people don't use, that people have already, like, put their knives on and forks on, and they scrape it all into a big bowl. And that's how they
make... That's the butter they use for the hollandaise sauce?
Yes. And since the hollandaise sauce has to be served at room temperature...
Right.
A lot of times, this butter, which is already like covered with bacteria from people, has to sit out at room temperature. And, of course, the longer it sits out at room temperature, the better chance there is of more bacteria forming on it.
Oh, my God.
So he said, right. The best way to make sure you're going to get sick is to have brunch in a major restaurant, a very crowded restaurant, on a Sunday morning, and make sure that you order Eggs Benedict.
You know, I've had a theory for a long time, and this is my own theory based on personal experiences, that the more incredibly, insanely crowded a restaurant is, the better your chances are for something going wrong. And I seem to remember that the only times I've ever felt that I had what was called food poisoning were at restaurants that were so crowded that they were just... processing stuff, and I think that's when a lot of sanitary rules don't get observed. A lot of stuff sits out, and there's a lot of bulk food.
Here's another thing from this guy's book.
Mm-hmm.
In some restaurants, not all, and I'll bring the book in tomorrow. I told Frieda, we should get this guy on the show. This guy's been backing up stuff that we've been saying for years on this show about restaurants. That if you go to a restaurant and they bring you the bowl that has butter and a big basket of bread,
right.
And you pick through the bread to find the piece that you like, and you take maybe one piece, but you've touched every piece of bread. And lots of restaurants, what they do is, especially if they're busy,
mm-hmm.
when they clear the table, if no one's looking, they just take the bread that's already been passed on from four or five other tables,
right.
And they just put it on your table.
I'd love to get a copy of that book.
So like the bread that you're touching and the bread that you're eating is really bread that's been touched by five, six, seven, eight other people who had already been in the restaurant
that
day.
That's so gross.
Also, don't order fish on a weekend at a restaurant.
What?
Really? Because restaurants get their fish from fish markets.
Yeah.
Fish markets give them fish Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If you go in for fish on Saturday, you're getting fish that sat there since at the very earliest, late Thursday night, early Friday morning.
This is an incredible book.
If you get fish on Sunday... that's bad. If you get fish on Monday, that's the worst.
So you wouldn't want to go to brunch on Sunday and order some salmon with asparagus and hollandaise sauce.
No, you wouldn't. The best day to order fish...
And with a big basket of bread.
The best day to order fish, according to this guy's book, is Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Okay.
Because those are the only days that you can be assured...
that it's really fresh.
...that your fish is going to be fresh.
Wow.
Also, don't go into a restaurant and order anything well done. Because when they come back and they tell the chef that someone has, for instance, ordered a steak well done, they take the biggest crap piece of meat that they have and they singe it. They just burn it. And they send it out to the person. And then everybody in the whole wait staff and everything, they laugh at the idiot who's eating the burned piece of
crap meat.
Yeah, of like horse meat or whatever it is that they throw.
Yeah, because they figure anybody that orders well done doesn't appreciate good meat.
Oh, no,
yeah.
The difference.
Right. And that's...
which is the truth.
And that was just... those were just some of the things in the first chapter of the book that she was reading me out loud.
It's the first chapter.
And I had to say to her yesterday, stop reading it to me. Stop it, because I want to read the book myself. We've got to get this guy on the show.
You'll never eat in another restaurant.
Yeah, and the guy looks like... Chef Homo, the guy on the cover of the book. I mean, this is queer looking as a $3 bill.
Chef Confidential, is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know what the name of the book is.
Boy, it sounds fascinating.
It's something like that, though, and it's got a guy, and he's wearing a chef uniform on the cover, and he's folding his arms in a condescending way. And
look what we've done to your food.
Yeah. Fantastic book.
Man.
Why'd you give me that book for Father's Day?
I'd just like to say...
so you can read it when I'm done with it.
None of that would happen at the places that we go to on Sundays. Not a chance. There's nothing specially ordered. It's all just in a bucket with eggs on top.
Well, no comment. I have absolutely no comment for you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing to say. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
And I'm sure someone has the name of that book.
Hey, is it Kitchen Confidential?
It is, Buzz.
Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly is the subtitle.
Oh, my God. You goddamn guru, Buzz.
Buzz is on his game today.
He sure is.
Because his cats gave him a Father's Day card.
That's right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Darren from Wichita.
Yes, Darren. Hello.
Hello. I was calling to say that as the world day turns, effing rocks.
Oh, very good. Hey. And that's all the way out in Wichita. It's good that you're enjoying that.
Oh, we have a brand new episode coming right up, as a matter of fact.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, dude. Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye. A cliffhanger episode today.
Very exciting.
On As the World A Hurts. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I have about 12 years of food service experience, and I've never actually seen anything like that. The French cooking was made so sophisticated because they were trying to hide the flavor of rotted meat back before they had refrigeration.
That's interesting. I believe that, too.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Why, probably a lot of, you know, that's what cooking's all about, is like trying to make stuff that probably would taste like crap taste
right.
better.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. I got a great porta-potty story.
Really? Okay.
I was at 4th of July down at the mall on 4th of July, well, obviously. And these guys, this guy went in to use the porta potty.
When did this story take place?
4th of July.
Okay.
His friends came in, and as he was in there, and they...
You must have been at a 4th of July... Were you at a 4th of July party?
Yeah, I was, actually.
You were celebrating independence.
I was, yes. Independence and it was on the 4th, I believe.
Yep.
The 4th of July.
In July. That happens around the birthday of the country, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
4th of July.
The summer. Yeah.
Summer. Anyway, they thing over on him. And,
is that the July
out.
4th weekend?
Sure is, Mike.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Are you done yet?
No, but you are.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I'd like to get on the book club of the air talking about Kitchen Confidential, please.
Kitchen Confidential. Everybody knows it.
I say it's great. I love the part when the guy, when you order the well-done meat and they just toss it in the deep fat fryer for you.
Oh, my God. They deep fry it?
They just throw it in the fryer later because the chefs are so aghast that they take the lousiest piece of meat.
That's what I just told you.
This
was
fascinating. The chefs get mad at well-done, but I mean, who can blame them?
And then they laugh at people. Then they sit back.
And they just put a little sauce on, out the door.
Right, and they let you go, this is for the stupid man at table number 5. Let him choke on it.
And they also hate vegetarians, too, if you noticed on there, Don. They're down on people. Oh, have a little meat. I think he says, the body's not a temple, it's an amusement park. So
don't
let it live.
I can't comment on the whole book, because it was only what my wife was reading me yesterday.
Brand new
beach.
Book, isn't it? Is it a brand new book? Probably a bestseller.
She just got it. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, you guys got it all wrong about the seafood, though. There's nothing wrong with seafood in a restaurant. I work for a main broadline distributor. We distribute everything.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the seafood comes in cryovac'd, frozen. You can get fresh every day.
Listen, don't be so defensive. I'm just telling you what a guy in a book said.
Well, I don't know what the book it is, but it's...
Kitchen Confidential.
And, you know, I respect people like you that take issue. You know, obviously, this doesn't happen everywhere with everything. And, I respect the people that would probably get a little upset about that. But I'm sure it also does happen. In less scrupulous, establishments.
Do you reuse butter?
No.
Now you're
the butter out. I saw a busboy last night putting the silverware on the table with the prong part. I mean, there's a lot more germs out there with those guys than there is in the back of the house. Holding the blade first.
Now it's kitchen from kitchen servers. Okay. You know.
All right, everybody got some kind of axe to grind. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, the guy I was talking about was on the Today Show last week.
Oh, was he really?
He did an interview with, I think, Matt in the Morning.
Yeah.
Talking about the...
Hey, Matt in the Morning, everybody.
Matt in the Morning. That's the new name for the Today Show.
Matt in the Morning.
Matt and Katie crew.
And?
He did the story about the steak and the bread and the fish. And he did the interview. Pretty good story. Pretty good story about the fish and the steak.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Good story.
Great. Thank you. You told it so well. I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Mikey, Don. How are your buddies doing?
That was a lovely story.
Well,
fantastic.
I thought it was a very lovely story.
You told it so well.
And you tell it so well.
Enthusiasm.
Such enthusiasm.
And Mike, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hey, listen. I got a food one. I also have a porta potty one, but if I'm not mistaken, the guy at 4th of July got tipped on.
Yeah, that probably was. That sounded like where he was going with that. Right. They tipped it over, which is really
okay.
Horrific things that could happen. I mean, I swear to God, I would not forgive my friends if they did that. I mean, can you imagine that? Especially if like all the goo got on you.
You're right.
Oh,
I wouldn't forgive anyone that did that. But these were Hell's Angel guys, so there was no retribution.
Ah,
it wasn't
myself. Imagine that you get it tipped over and you get out. All right, man.
With the door underneath you so you can't get out, of course.
Oh, welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell.
Correct. But needless to say, the people in the area got a laugh. Do you want to hear the food one also?
No, thank you.
Oh, come on.
No, the porta potty was sufficient.
Bye-bye, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Love you.
No, love you more, thank you.
That chapter that you're talking about from Kitchen Confidential, they printed that on MSNBC.com on Friday. If your listeners want to read it.
I think I'll just bring in my wife's book tomorrow and just read some of the good stuff.
Is that the whole thing?
The whole book is like an expose on how crappy the restaurant industry is.
Yeah. All right, okay, thanks.
Thank you. All right, now, of course, I told you all the restaurant people are calling.
No, and I respect the restaurant people that are calling in.
I just, it seems to me they don't protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, is Randy the chef?
Hello.
Randy.
Don and Mike.
Hi, Randy.
Dude, come on, man. I mean, whoever's writing this book, this guy obviously has never worked a kitchen. I mean,
I'm telling you, he's a freaking famous chef.
Okay.
Working at some famous restaurant in New York.
There's a lot of paper chefs out there that think they know what they're doing running a kitchen, and they don't work in the kitchen. They're shuffling paper, man.
What would you do?
I mean, this thing about the holidays, first of all, is nonsense. It takes great butter to make holidays. Second of all, you can leave butter out, as in a butter dish, in your house for months, and it don't collect nothing. I mean, if it's not covered, give it to you, you know?
So you're taking issue with the hollandaise story. What about the fish?
That and the rest of his nonsense.
What about the fish?
Come on, man.
Wait, hold on. This guy sounds like a chef at goddamn Roy Rogers. I mean, you're going to give this guy any credibility? Listen to the way this man is.
I'm not giving him any credibility at all.
No, I'm talking about you. Listen to the way this guy is speaking.
Do you work in some of the finest kitchens in America?
Where do you work, at the NASCAR Cafe?
No, sir, I don't.
Hey, the food is fantastic at the NASCAR Cafe.
No, sir, I don't. I'm just saying that the guy's got some issues with the restaurant business, and he's disgruntled, man, I'm telling you.
I'd like to know what restaurant he works at. The guy that wrote the book.
I'll call Fred and ask him.
Because is he still working? I think so. I guess the whole thing would be, at my restaurant, this doesn't happen.
No, I think as a matter of fact, when I was looking at the back cover of the book, he does say that this stuff actually, occasionally, happens at the restaurant he works at also.
Oh, okay. Right.
That's insane. I mean, who's running this place? That's outrageous. Chefs I know would fire sous chefs for this type of stuff. That just doesn't happen in today. The guy's crazy.
Listen, I'll give you this, that maybe it doesn't happen in every single restaurant.
No, it doesn't.
But you can't say that it never happens.
No, I agree. It does happen, but I'm telling you now, I mean, with the chain restaurants you're going out there and the big family restaurants that are going now, like Tom Sarah's, places like that are still hanging in there, the only way they're hanging in there is because they're serving a quality product, and that ain't coming out of a recycled butter dish, babe.
I like the way that this book is getting everybody, you know, the people in the industry getting upset about it. I like that. It's interesting.
I think you just need to have a little more faith in the restaurant industry, man.
I don't, man, which is why bull ass, and that's why I don't ever complain. They bring me the wrong food.
Oh, please, never. That's the thing. Never complain. I mean, I've been a chef for a long time, and when I go out, I mean, we went to a place for Mother's Day, and the food was terrible. We waited for hours, and am I going to complain?
You don't complain,
and
right?
Why wouldn't you complain?
Yeah.
Because it's just not what the chef needs to hear when he's got 200 people in line.
No, wrong Chef Sizzler. You don't complain because when you complain, they loogie on your food.
What I do is I just don't go back. They get no more of my money, and sooner or later, they're going to shut down.
You know, that's true, but that's what you said. He's basically, I know you don't like this guy, but he's basically agreeing with you by saying you don't complain. You don't complain.
Yeah, but we have two different reasons.
Don't take it off the servers either. You don't leave a buck because it's not their fault.
Sure, if they don't bring your food on time, you're goddamn right you do.
But how do you know that food wasn't waiting in the lights for 10 minutes while she was in the bathroom? Come on now, don't blame it on the server. It's not their fault.
Well, then hold on.
These guys work hard for this.
Wait.
You're begging for tips and money.
Who's
they work hard for?
Whose fault is it? You just told me it's not the chef's fault. Now you're saying it's not the server's fault. Whose fault is it?
It's the fault of the restaurant for scheduling 4,000 people to fit in a 200 people time frame. You have to do it right or don't do it at all.
You know, I will tell you that it would be my feeling that the best restaurants I've ever been to, the ones where the, you know, and expensive doesn't matter. It's size. I think the smaller the restaurant, if it's a small place and you get good food there and you can look back there and you see, you know, people that are working there.
Boom, and you go back.
That's it.
And you go back.
Never return anything.
Yeah, but, you know, I've done that before, and I agree with you. I don't do that anymore. I do not
return. If you go to these chow houses, like, you know, I'm not going to mention any names because I know you'll bleep it anyway, but if you go to these chow houses when you had to make a reservation a week at it, 2 weeks at a time, month at a time, and you're in line with 400 other people, what do you expect to get in an hour and a half?
Wait. What chow house, as you so eloquently put it, do you have to get a reservation for a month in advance?
Can I say a name?
Go ahead.
I can?
Yes.
The Chart House in Annapolis for Mother's Day.
Okay.
Frightening experience.
That's a very busy restaurant.
Yes, it is. Right up the street was Ruth Chris, and they didn't have nobody in line, babe. I should have stopped there before I got there.
Yep.
All right. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever.
There's good food out there. You got to look for it, and you got to know what you want.
I will also say I have had some fine meals at the Chart House in Annapolis that one you speak of.
I'm sure you have, and I have before as well, but it was just a crunch. I mean, like a...
Listen, the restaurant business is no different than selling shoes or working in radio or working in a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
There's effed up things in all of them.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I mean, I'm just trying to defend the working people out there. They bust their balls.
Oh, come on. This isn't about working people. This is about how you get ripped off in a restaurant.
The truest thing you said was what you just said, that it is. It's just like doctors. It's like gas stations. Mm-hmm. It's like where you get your car fixed. It's where you get your hair cut. There are good and there are bad in every single industry.
If you choose a bad one, don't go back, babe.
And I agree with that.
Right.
You know,
I agree with everybody today.
Which is why
happy belated Father's Day.
Which is why I hope you never call us again.
Oh, man, don't say that. Thanks.
Why? I was not pleased with your telephone call. I hope you never call again.
Mike, we were out at the tournament at Avenel last week. I didn't see you. We went out there for that, though.
Well, thanks for calling, my friend.
All right, man.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we just went separate ways. He just sounded like a big, big guy. He sounded like a big man chef.
Yeah, right.
I like chef.
Real quality chef.
I liked him.
I bet he went to a real good cooking school.
He probably did.
Yeah, pick my nose cooking school.
I agreed. I really did agree with both, almost, not everything that both of you guys were saying, but almost everything. And it was funny. You were arguing, but he was bringing up points that I agreed with, and then you were bringing up, and I was agreeing. It was weird because I was agreeing with both of you, and really... For one word here and there, you two might have gotten along better.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
True.
I don't think so. He's some stupid neck.
You didn't like his tone. That's what you didn't like. That's the thing you really didn't like. He was just like, hey, let me tell you this right now.
I don't like the fact he came on the show as some kind of chef,
mm-hmm.
yet talked like one of Hank Hill's friends on on King of the Hill.
Well, there are a lot of chefs that don't sound like William F. Buckley.
Sure. No.
They all should have French accents.
Yes, your best chefs have either... fag English accents or killer French accents.
Oh, okay. Like Emeril Lagasse.
Emeril, right.
Or sound like Emeril.
Yes.
Well, didn't that guy sound a little like Emeril?
No, that guy sounded like David Letterman going, you got gum? Please, I would need a peanut butter sandwich that guy made me. I really wouldn't. Of course, he'd probably F up that recipe. Oh, let me see. It's bread. Hold on. Let me scratch my nuts for a minute. Please. Don't trust anybody in a restaurant. Never send anything back.
Well, but also, pick the ones you like and go back. That's the best way to go. And I agree with what the chef said, that guy that just called in, that fine quality chef. And if you don't like the service or you don't like the food, you just don't go back. That's the way you protest. You just don't show up there again. But if you live in a small area where there are not many choices, sometimes you have no choice. You have to go back even if it's crap.
I need it at home.
Eat at home. But I mean, eat at home gets boring.
Yeah. Eat at home. At least you know the chef is scratching himself. At least you know it's your germs.
I like going in a little place, tiny little place where you can see everybody and you know everybody. I mean, that's usually your best bet.
Not me. I like eating in a dark room.
Dark room with 500 people.
No, I don't. A dark room about as big as a closet with the only light.
Mm-hmm.
The glow of the television.
Absolutely.
That's the perfect meal.
I like to have an intimate, casual, elegant atmosphere like the old country buffet.
We will be. I knew you were getting there.
Well, you know.
Speaking of picking your nose.
Absolutely. Hey, up to the third knuckle.
Be right back.
The best reason not to drive your little Mercedes convertible into the abutment. The Don and Mike Show.
Driving home one night. How easy it would be to take my Mercedes convertible and stick it in that abutment on the side.
Thank you, Gif.
Hey, Gifford.
Was he at Michael Gelman's wedding over the weekend?
No.
Does anybody know?
I would think he probably wasn't.
I didn't get to watch the Regis and Cuddy Lee Gifford show today, where I guess they probably talked about Michael Gelman's wedding, right?
I would think so.
Kathy Lee was a guest, I know, at the wedding, and I would assume she was accompanied by Frank.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it was Michael Gelman marrying his beard.
Well, I believe that we will have that very beard Regis Philbin on the show later today discussing the Michael Gelman nuptials.
Good. Well, Regis has an issue. If he does come on the show today, he has an issue with that he was not named best man, that he was just a groomsman. And, you know, well, you know how Regis is right now.
Yeah.
Regis thinks he owns the world. And, yeah, that's his number one guy, as we've discussed on this show before. And he was not best man. And he's not shy about saying he was unhappy.
And I watched the last part of the Millionaire Show last night, the last few seconds. He said, Happy Father's Day, and I hope you got a tie, as he pointed out, the tie that he's hawking.
Yeah.
And I tell you this, they got some balls with that Millionaire Show, that they're not even hiding the fact that they're going to do reruns for 2.5 weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That he said last night, that's it, we'll be back on July 8th. So we'll see you. If you want to be on the show, call starting June 20th.
There you go.
Do you think people are really going to sit through episodes of a game show that they've already seen already?
No. Yeah, sweeps are over, and so this is ABC just basically throwing their hands over. Well, we had the Millionaire Show, now nothing else.
Shutting down.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Radio Gods. This is DeStefano in Fort Myers, Florida.
Yes, hello, DeStefano.
I haven't read the book yet that y'all have been talking about, the restaurants, but I used to work in the business for about 10 years. Great restaurants down here, but there's something besides the food y'all need to watch out for.
What's that?
The busboys. They're rarely watched by management, being, you know, so busy, turn the tables, crank them through. What the busboys did that grossed me out more than anything was to clean the ashtrays with their table towel and then wipe the table down.
Oh, that's, you know, that's a little thing, but that is gross.
As soon as you hit the table, I mean, it's all over on your silverware when you put your silverware on the table. And
I shouldn't tell you this. When I was a kid.
Yeah.
I worked as a busboy for maybe 2 months.
You were all over the food industry.
I worked at Burger Chef. I worked at Roy Rogers. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job working as a busboy in a country club with my friend Kevin Kinchy.
Mm-hmm. Danny.
And we couldn't. No, it's Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Kinchy, not Danny Kinchy.
Kevin.
And on occasion, not to be mean or anything.
Huh?
Like, if we were standing, all the busboys had to stand in a line in the back of the room. And
just observe the diners.
And you had to wait, and if somebody put their hand up, you had to go run there.
Bring
and
them water,
whatever
clear
it is
the table.
They needed. Occasionally, they would have us standing there holding inside folded napkins 2, 3, 4 sets of silverware.
Mm-hmm.
So that as soon as somebody got up, you immediately could run over. One guy would lay out the new tablecloth. The other guy would put the middle setting on. And the third guy, being me, would set the fork, the knife, and the spoon out.
Right.
On more than one occasion. And I just thought of this because I just did it with a pencil. I would actually take the fork or the knife and just, like I'm doing right now, scratch my ass with it.
The bad part of your ass?
Well, no, not
in... Would you ever go between the pillows? Would you ever have an itch there and really just... I mean, I would think that if you used the utensil...
No, only because I was standing in front of a group of people.
Oh, okay.
And I had my back to the wall.
Right.
Occasionally, I would actually take the fork and I would put it right here, like right down... The back. See what I'm doing right here?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God. That's right. That's where bad place is.
Not into...
That's on the highway.
Not into not into my butt. But through of the butts to start.
You ever go deep? Come on. You went deep. If it was there, you were saying you're standing in front of a
Maybe.
Group of people.
Yeah.
They can see that you've got a fork down in your pants.
Maybe I did.
What kind of busboy is Bart going to make?
Maybe I did one time. Thank God Bart did not get a job being a busboy.
Uh-huh.
I want to respect his privacy, but thank God he didn't get a job as a busboy.
Right.
But he's very close to it. He's very close to it. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye. You know, you think about the nature of the beast, and you think about the fact that when we all go out to dinner, I think people completely forget that these are other people that go out to dinner, too, and have lives. And when you go into a restaurant, you kind of, like, forget that. I mean, you really do.
Right.
In a certain way, even if you're nice to people or not, you don't acknowledge their presence as human beings. They are simply, they're there to serve you.
Because they're not. Because they're not, right? They're servants.
And that's
Bring
the way,
me my food.
But the people that are the servants, they don't think that way. See, they're human beings.
So I know, they think they have rights and stuff.
And there, it's probably just the nature of the human condition that they don't like
serving you. You see, even if they've chosen that job, they're probably not really digging it to start with. Right. See, what you say about if you complain or if you have a bad attitude or you're nasty, it's almost like suicide, because they probably will try to make your life difficult.
You know, I don't think, as I'm sitting here trying to recreate that moment like 25 years ago.
You don't think you dug for gold?
I think I went maybe to the top of my ass cheeks,
mm-hmm.
but never inside. Oh, never inside the pillows with someone's knife or fork.
That's right.
But there's no doubt that I would scratch myself.
Waiter, there's gravy on this fork.
There's no doubt I would scratch myself and then immediately run to a table and just put the silverware out.
Waiter, this is a used fork.
Hello?
This is not the best steak I've ever had.
Not at Mike's show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Don, Mike.
Waiter, my knife has meatloaf on it.
There's some ketchup.
Oh,
waiter, there's ketchup.
Here's some ketchup and mayonnaise.
Hello. Hi. Hey, I saw Gilman's wedding on the Regis show this morning.
Oh, you did?
The funniest part was Regis was wearing a yarmulke. And, of course, he blew the name of the band, showing his feebleness.
Well, he wore a yarmulke because Gilman's a Jew.
Yeah, I didn't see Jewish Gilman wedding. Wearing a yarmulke.
Well, wait a minute.
Well, now, Gelman would have to be wearing a yarmulke if it was a Jewish wedding, right?
If Regis was wearing a yarmulke, I'm sure Gelman was wearing a yarmulke.
Because you sure know that Regis Philbin of Notre Dame is not a Jew.
I was in a Jewish wedding. I was in a Jewish wedding party. I don't think I had to wear a yarmulke. But, you know, it was one of those split ceremonies where they had an Episcopal priest and they had a rabbi, but they did the thing under the canopy.
I've been to a Jewish wedding. Is that the one where they put a glass like
and they wrap it in a napkin and they step on
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, and they lifted them up on chairs and they were holding the hanky between them. And
yeah, I didn't have to wear a yarmulke, but then again, I wasn't in the wedding party.
I was
just a guest.
See, I was in. It was a dual service. I mean, intra-faith. Is that what it was?
Right.
And so there was a priest there, an Episcopal priest, and a rabbi. But they did the thing under the canopy.
It must vary wildly. I was a guest at a Jewish wedding also, and I was asked to wear a yarmulke. And
yeah, I think it depends on where you... But I would assume if Regis...
I know one person who would never even attend a Jewish wedding.
Rob Spieler!
Rob.
The only question is how much they charge you for the yarmulke.
Oh, God. Rob.
That's a joke. Like, an old joke.
Good joke, Rob. That's great. It was Rob Spiewak that told that joke.
So what's that?
Rob Spieler!
Thanks for mentioning his name out loud.
What?
Rob, who is part Jewish, just so we can go on record for everyone knowing that.
But it's a very small part.
Yes,
what is it, Robbie? What is it?
1/8
Jew.
There you go. So Rob, Rob wears a yarmulke here in the studio.
Courtney.
Yes, sir.
Is that your? Oh, I see. Now it's on the screen. Courtney, Chico, California. They did talk about the wedding.
Yes. Hey, can I say hi to Swanee and Brad?
No.
I guess I just did.
We want to hear about.
What else do you want to know?
Never mind.
Oh, you.
Never mind.
You.
Except for the fact that Regis was wearing a yarmulke.
I would assume if Regis was wearing one, then the groom was wearing one.
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yes.
Hi.
Unless Regis, from hell.
Unless Regis is trying to make some kind of fashion statement, like a yarmulke that goes with his shirt, that goes with his tie.
If we see the yarmulke on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we'll know that it's a fashion deal.
Hello, you are, what'd you say, the waiter from hell?
Oh, yes, I'm the one that you don't want to have waiting on you.
Why?
All right, well, I'll do almost anything. You piss me off beyond all belief because people think that when they come in that...
Don't drop the S-bomb.
Sorry about that. They treat you like crud, and then they want you to get the best service in the life, but they're not going to get it. Like,
hey, come on.
All right.
God. I mean, that's the second time. I had to delete him out because he said people treat him like ass.
Nice waiter. He has to make the desserts, Hey, it's the best McFlurry I ever had.
If I have to make your dessert and you treat me like ass, you're in for it. I'm going to make you eat one. And I took the dessert. I told him it was yellow sauce.
That guy dropped the S-bomb twice.
Yes.
Very angry server. But once again, that's why, probably to start with, doesn't like doing what he's doing.
Sure.
So if you push him over the edge, of course he's going to do something wrong.
Not your servant.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got to wait for the phones to ring.
I also think, though, that if they catch people, regardless of all that stuff, if they catch people doing it, they ought to lock them up.
Yeah, there's no justification for making people sick.
Absolutely not. I mean, you're screwing people's food. I think, if you're in that business and you get somebody who's not pleasant to you, tough, that comes with the territory.
Listen, I agree wholeheartedly with what you guys are saying.
You're still afraid. Don't be afraid, Dom. We're not in a restaurant.
Never complain. Never send anything back. everything's great.
Right. But do you agree? If they catch somebody doing something like that, they, you know, right to prison, no trial.
Well, yes. I would have to think about that, Mike.
Well, why?
It would depend. Because, frankly, some people, and I've been on both sides, some people deserve to
have their food tainted.
Yes, they do.
You may be right.
Yes, they do.
That's tough to argue with.
I'd say,
if you get the real super juice. I've seen people in restaurants. I've been with people at restaurants.
Generally speaking,
that I don't like the way they treat people. I think sometimes I'm sitting down with me, and I'm somebody who has sent food back because I didn't like it, and I'm never doing that anymore.
Oh, that is a guarantee that you're going to have some jizz in your food. Never send anything back.
See, it's tough because I've got this noble idea that if somebody is offering you bad service, that it helps them to know that they're getting the...
No, it's like when someone calls us up and tells us they don't like our show. Does that help us?
Yeah.
No. What do we think? F you, change the station.
You just don't go. You just don't go back.
That's what I would think. Someone tells me in the restaurant they don't like the food. Listen, there's a big boy across the street.
See, I've always thought that because I go overboard, if it's great service and great food, that I can be critical if there's bad food and bad service. But you're right.
You can't. Just like with our show. Somebody calls us up and says, hey, I love you guys. I listen every day. We go, thank you. Somebody calls us, hey, you guys suck. We go, hey, but F you.
But a good chef from France told me one time, he said, the reason Americans get bad food is because they accept it.
Uh-huh. Hello?
Tom, Mike.
There must be a lot of people peeing in food over in France.
Hello? Yeah.
How are you?
Well, you know the French.
The French hate Americans anyway.
They do, and we hate them too. Rightly so, we do. Hello.
How you guys doing? These
goddamn French sissies. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
I have a couple of things, real quick. One is this past Sunday I went to Ellicott City, and this has to do with your whole restaurant thing. We went to an unnamed establishment, waited 45 minutes at a table. Didn't even get, you know, little water glasses, and the waitresses and waiters were running around. They came up to my fiance and friend and said they didn't have the food that they had ordered. They came back 5 minutes later and told me that they didn't have the food I ordered. Then they came back and just started complaining to us that they hate their job, and the restaurant was running out of food, and people were getting cold food and wrong food. So needless to say, they didn't sell it very well. And we ended up going elsewhere. But I never heard of a restaurant running out of food in my life.
Oh, I have.
No, I've been in a restaurant where they've said, you know what, we don't have special number one anymore. We're out of it. Mm-hmm.
But it was like they were out of everything.
And
I mean,
sometimes
even, like,
restaurants
water.
Even run out of number two.
Oh, it's not in my show. Never.
Buddy.
Can never run out of number two. Especially if you piss them off. Hello?
John.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I heard today that Imus fell off his horse over the weekend.
Oh, did you hear about that?
Yeah. Listen,
this collapsed lung. Now, what's the deal? I already had a collapsed lung. I thought he only had one lung.
It's awful bad when your horse doesn't even like you.
It is the funniest thing. I mean, I shouldn't laugh.
He's got a broken collarbone, right?
Yeah. But it's the funniest thing that he's... Anyway, he's out on that ranch.
What's that old man doing on a horse anyway?
He's on this ranch, which is just a scam, a way for him to build a $3 million log cabin in New Mexico.
Right.
So that he doesn't have to go to work every day in New York. He's out riding a horse. The horse throws him off.
10 feet. Threw him like 10
yeah,
feet?
Right.
He must have really been galloping.
Breaks his collarbone. How was his wig?
I thought that would have broke the fall.
Yeah, they found some bald guy there. There was this big pile of hair.
They called him and wished him a speedy recovery.
Is it true that he had a collapsed lung, Buzz?
A collapsed lung, 5 broken ribs, a broken collarbone, and a separated shoulder.
Oh, God. He must have really hit hard.
And they say he's resting comfortably.
That's not even possible.
No, I will tell you the funniest part of that whole story, though.
He's going to complain about service, right? I'd like to be his nurse.
Because that story was emailed to me today.
Right.
Check out his age. Mm-hmm. Do they have the... On Associated Press, they have his age.
Reportedly 59.
Oh, yeah, right. Come on. Right, and I'm 12. 59?
Right.
Christ, he has underpants older than that.
Jesus Christ.
Imus gets thrown off a horse.
Oh. He'll be appearing in City Slickers 4.
How great is that?
I'm just a stupid idiot. The horse just threw me off. I just didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Imagine him.
Stupid idiot.
Just laying there on the ground.
Silly ass horse. Hey, come on over here. My lungs collapsed.
Like his leg bent behind his head.
I tell you, I've got four broken ribs and I've got a separated shoulder, stupid idiot.
That howdy doody kerchief he wears.
Get my hat. Get my cap. Get my big hat and my belt buckle. My belt buckle got jarred loose, too.
Oh, God. Too funny.
Oh, man. Silly ass horse.
Thank you.
Happy Monday, guys.
Where's my brother? Get my brother. I love him.
Time out. We will be right back. Let's clear these lines.
Get the jet.
877-365.
Call Dan Rather. Get the jet. Give me more sunflower seeds.
You know, I'm not staying in this hotel. You don't have my special toothpaste.
I want my special toothpaste.
My special gum.
Oh, my God. My one lung's collapsed. Stupid idiots. Where's my brother? I need sunflower seeds. And I need a hat with a string around it so it'll stay on my head.
Well, if Westwood wants, I don't see why they don't just simulcast this show into the morning slot.
Mm-hmm.
Just play the show that we do today and play it tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. You won't have to worry about us going out and riding horses in New Mexico.
10 feet
from 10 feet.
Hey, Air Imus.
It's Air Imus. Man, oh man, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. My bones are brittle. Tom, I'm 59.
He requests that we say he's 59.
Do it. He's complaining already.
Listen, clear these lines. Oh, goddamn.
That was the funniest thing that I heard all weekend.
Right.
But I just got thrown on my horse.
Imagine doing that sponge bath. It'd be like watching a crocodile.
877-365-3636. Secret sound lies straight ahead. B caller 100 now.
Hey, pardon? Your attention, please.
You'll laugh until your uterus falls out. The Don and Mike Show.
What was the question?
Time for call 100 right now.
Yeah.
Slim Shady's. Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Call 100?
Right. Right. What's your name?
My name's Mike from Live Oak.
Mike from where?
Live Oak.
Where's that?
That's up north of Sacramento.
Beautiful. My friend, call 100. You won the $50 gift certificate to the world of A&E. Watch Biography All premiere June on A&E. A new bio every night in June. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, only on A&E.
All right.
Are you ready to go for the big money?
Yep.
Here we go with $500. Boy, you sound enthusiastic. Do you have a guess?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Okay. What do you do for a living, sir?
I own my own business. I'm in the card retailing.
Excellent.
Card vending.
Card vending.
Card vending. What is
card?
That?
Baseball card.
Oh, card.
Oh, I thought you said car.
Yeah, so that would be the lack of the D at the end of that is what it sounded like. So you're like that guy on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. Bart Simpson, I will not tell you radioactive man number one. Whatever.
Ever. You look at that guy as a positive or negative role model for all guys who work in comic book and card shops.
That's a negative.
It's a negative, Don, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, who would have expected any other different answer there? Could Superman mate with Lois Lane?
Why not?
And who would win a race between Superman and the Flash?
Probably the Flash.
Why?
I don't know. Seemed like a good answer.
What's the most valuable card in your possession?
Mickey Mantle rookie.
Wow.
How much?
Oh geez, I don't know the price on it right now.
Oh, just, we're not trying to buy it from you. What do you think it would go for?
Depends. Might sell it at an auction and get price. It depends. You know.
There's no way that this guy is not the owner of his own business.
Do you own your own business?
Well, yeah, but see, I mean, you got to put those things in auctions. They can go anywhere from, $100,000 up to $1 million.
You have an actual establishment where someone can walk down the street, open the door, and you're there behind the counter?
No, it's not a card shop. See, I buy large amounts of cards and sell them off.
On the internet?
No, sell them to card businesses, card shops.
You, like, drive around?
Yeah.
Do you live with your mom?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh. Really?
Good for you.
So you do own your own business?
Yeah.
You ever been lied?
Of course.
How old are you?
21.
Do you wear prescription pants?
Nope, not yet.
Prescription shirts?
Not yet.
Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Oh, geez. Frank, I have no idea.
Frank Ahearns?
Yeah, why not?
There you go.
There you go. That's terrific.
All right. Well, listen, Mr. Single Successful Businessman, here we go with the secret sound. We'll play it for you now. I'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
And we wish you... Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
So, you are the Donald Trump of baseball cards. Right.
It sounds like it might be a...
And the odds are in my favor, Donald.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn. Yeah, it is.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Trump.
It sounds like it might be like a spoon or a fork scraping the inside of like a can.
Like. That is the word like used the most
can't
in
speak.
Any guess.
I am dumb.
No. 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 100 times no. Honus Wagner from the grave is screaming no.
Isn't that the dude with the most expensive baseball card of all time?
Right. Rookie Honus Wagner.
Yes. Joe DiMaggio is screaming no.
So you're saying that you have a Mickey Mantle rookie card valued at over $2
million? No, it's...
Yes,
I
that's what you said.
That much.
That's what you said.
No, I said it could go anywhere from like $100,000 maybe to $1 million or so.
So do you have the Mickey Mantle rookie card in your possession?
Yeah, it's in a bank.
You have it in a safety deposit box?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, give us... What would you think if we came into the store today, not at an auction, what would you charge us for it?
Oh, geez. I have no idea.
But that's your business.
Yeah, but I don't sell them individually.
Well, you'd have to sell that one individually.
Let's say I made you an offer. I'd say, okay, that's a good-looking Mickey Mantle card. $20.
Yeah. No, seriously?
He said, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, seriously, I'd probably sell it for $200,000, maybe.
Maybe? $200,000,
yeah, well,
maybe?
You know, I got it for very cheap. Buy cards in bulk by the pound.
How much did you get it for?
Card by card? Probably
No.
The Mickey Mantle.
The Mickey Mantle card.
Well, I bought it by pound.
Well,
collection.
What?
It came with a whole collection that I bought.
Really? Did they know they had a Mickey Mantle rookie in there?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, they did. They're just getting rid of it all.
So you mean they knew that they had a Mickey Mantle card, which could be worth anywhere from $200,000 to $2 million. So knowing that you were buying a lot of cards that had the Mickey Mantle card in it, how much did you pay for this lot of baseball cards?
About $30,000.
You paid $30,000?
Yeah. I don't know if they really knew that the Mickey Mantle was in it, but...
Well, here's a question. What would you estimate that that $30,000 investment would be worth now?
Oh, geez. I'm not sure. Probably about $100,000. With that not including the Mickey Mantle.
So the $30,000 investment would be worth $100.
$100,000.
Oh, $100,000.
Have you ever thought about calling the people back who you bought the $30,000 worth of baseball cards from and telling them that there was a Mickey Mantle inside?
Hell no.
Now, you also said that your Mickey Mantle rookie card would be worth anywhere from $100,000 to over $1 million. So you're saying that outside of the Mickey Mantle card, the rest of the pound of cards you bought is virtually valueless?
No.
That's what you said, though.
Well, I'm saying not including the Mickey Mantle. So I got about $100,000.
Oh, not including?
Value.
Oh,
so
wow.
You paid $30,000 for a box of baseball cards?
That is now worth, including Mickey Mantle, a minimum of $200,000.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much?
Hold on, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi.
This guy's full of it.
Really? Why? I mean, we know why, but tell us why.
The most expensive Mickey Mantle out there was worth like $25,000, and it's going down in price.
Okay.
And
the
second lowest one is $9,000.
Hold on,
oh,
please.
Oh, my.
Hey, kid?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think he's full of it.
Why?
Because you can sell them at auctions, man. They go from any, you know, they just go up in price when you put them in an auction.
In an auction.
People outbid each other, you know?
Listen, guy on the phone from Wichita, is that where you're from?
Yes.
Do you work in this fabulous industry?
No, I'm just a card collector.
There's a card
collector. Check his Beckett's.
His Beckett's?
Yes, Beckett Sports Cards. They put out a book with all the football, baseball.
Oh, I've seen that in a magazine shop.
Ah. Well, what would you say
to
this?
A Beckett prices a Michael Jordan rookie card at $1,700. Well, Michael Jordan rookie cards go for $100,000 in auction.
He just got excited. He just knew his stuff right there.
Has anybody really paid $100,000 for a Michael Jordan rookie card?
Depends what grade it's in.
What grade?
Yeah, PSA graded. Have them professionally graded.
Do you go a lot to the mouth breathers auction?
Dynamite?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don and Mike, I got a cousin who also collects.
I bet.
Congratulations.
He's right here. Do you want to talk to him, too?
No, thank
He's
you.
He's a big Emmett Smith collector.
I'm getting my fill of collecting just from talking to this genius on line four. Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think we've learned a lesson here, and this is for anybody that might want to get into the card collecting business. You want to avoid that because there are some real sharpshooters out there.
There sure are, Mike.
Yeah.
Really happening businessmen out there.
Beware.
Hello? Oh, it's still you.
Yeah.
Right, the entrepreneur. How much do you think you cleared last year on this business?
I have no idea. Well, I just...
Well, you would have to have...
I haven't been in it for over a year yet.
Oh, you haven't been in it for a full year.
Where did you get the $30,000 to buy all the cards from?
My parents.
Oh, your mommy and daddy did it for you.
Come you on. Know what else this guy collects?
Wow.
Egg salad in his braces.
Well, that's it's a fascinating business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
That didn't sound like an enthusiastic yeah. Is it a fascinating business?
Yeah, it depends if you like it. If you like collecting cards.
Well, I'm not asking whether I like it. You do it. I'm asking you.
Yes.
How did you get your mom and dad to give you $30,000 for baseball cards?
I got on my knees and begged for a long time.
That's awfully nice of them. Have you reimbursed them?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Well, I still am.
You're
not fully yet.
You're reimbursing them?
Yes.
As you sell the cards?
Yeah.
Do you sell primarily to people younger than yourself?
No.
No.
Really? Would you give me your mom or dad's phone number so I could call them to verify this? I would give you an extra prize.
No, my mom's not even home.
Yeah.
Really? Where's she at?
She's at work.
Paying for the card habit. Working. Just working all day long.
Do you get to take the retainer off at night when you go to bed?
No, I have to leave that on all the time.
What, in your opinion, is the best thing about being in the card business? I know this is a
dealing
challenge.
With cards?
Chance to meet boys?
Dealing with the cards and stuff, you know?
Dealing with the cards and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Buying and selling the cards.
Buying and selling. So the actual exchanging of the cards is the most fascinating. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
You ever J.O. like to a Billy Martin card? A really hot, handsome player?
All the time.
All the time. Hey, there's another
thing. Hey, mainly Cecil Fielder there, huh?
What's that?
Cecil Fielder is like, he likes a J.O. too.
Hey, there you go. That's a man with exquisite taste.
Hold on, please. I think we have more card guys calling.
Oh, good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, this guy's crazy.
Of course he is.
The most expensive baseball card ever sold was only $450,000. It was that Honus Wagner card Don was talking about.
So you're saying that the Mickey Mantle would not go to over $1 million?
I don't think so. Maybe 1,000 if he's lucky.
1,000?
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, Radio God.
Hey, buddy.
Enjoy your show immensely. Happy belated Father's Day, Mike.
Hello, everybody. I am a father also.
Yeah, you too. Well,
you got plenty of yours. You're set. I'll accept all of these.
You've
absolutely. I have a great family also.
Yes, you do.
I do indeed.
A young one that is.
Absolutely.
I worked here in a 4-star restaurant here in the Baltimore area for 15 years and was a professional waiter. And there was one time a young man and a young lady came in for dinner. Well, the particular waiter that was waiting on them used to be the young lady's ex-fiancé.
Uh-oh.
And
that's
proceeded
dangerous.
To have a lovely dinner and after dinner drinks and cappuccinos, Lemours at the bar, which contains liquor. So he decided to add a little magical ingredient at the service bar and served these two lovely beverages to the...
What, did he number one of them?
Yes, he did.
Ah!
You know who that waiter was? We're not going to say who he was, but he was one of the many attorneys on Miss Tripp's legal team.
Oh, okay.
He worked for Linda Tripp.
Okay. Yes, he did.
Well,
all
right. That's a legend.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I'd like to talk about these trading cards here. The thing is, with these trading cards,
it's kind of
like gambling. Okay? Are you guys with me on this?
Oh, yes, all the way.
Okay, you go and you buy these cards. You can buy them in the box. They range from anywhere between $50 to maybe $100, $200 a box.
Yes, and you never know if there's going to be a gem inside.
There will be a gem inside. There will be a gem of some sort, but that's the odds. It's all about odds with baseball cards. You get, I mean, say they got in this one box, they have a Michael Jordan Final Four, his last game. They have his autograph and a piece of the floor itself on this card, and this card goes for...
So tell me something. Are all the guys in this business as annoying as all of these guys that have called us today?
I suppose so.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I like sports.
Mm-hmm.
I even like collecting some sports stuff, but please... Jesus Christ.
When did about 10 years ago, the collectible industry just became in that? And did you not have a story a short time back that you said that 90% of all autograph collectibles are fake?
That's what they say, yeah.
90%.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys. Don and Mike. This is Mike. I'm 58, and I have a Honus Wagner card that I bought for $1 million.
All right.
It was great.
Come on, please. Goodbye.
All right, listen, Oh, this is the original guy, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, good luck in that fledgling business.
Are you by any chance pursuing your education?
Of course.
Really? Where are you going to school?
Chico State.
Chico State.
What is that, like 13th grade?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. What's the same answer?
What's your major going to be?
I'm just getting my general ed out of the way.
You're getting your what?
General ed.
General ed.
You mean your GED?
No, like my science and all that.
Basics.
Okay. All right. I don't understand.
What does H2O mean?
Water.
Very good.
That's science. It's a good science question. Yeah.
Very good.
Well, I suck at science.
No, you don't. You just knew what H2O was.
What is the temperature at which water freezes?
20 below Fahrenheit.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Something. You're right about that. Yeah, the second question was the second answer was correct. Something.
If you hear someone say the temperature hit the century mark, how hot did it get?
100.
100.
100.
How do you spell 100?
100, I don't know.
How do you spell 100?
Come on, how do you spell 100?
H-U-N-D-E-R... ED. I don't know.
Come on, you're kidding me.
Are you kidding? What do you write on it?
English and stuff is my worst subject.
When you write out a check, how do you spell the word 100 on the check if you don't know how to spell the word 100?
Well, I have to write stuff down. You know, actually spell it.
How do you write stuff down without actually spelling it?
How do I write stuff down? Well, I mean, I need to write it down before I can, like, say it, you know?
So, in other words, you have to, like, get a piece of scrap paper before you write a check.
Well, if I'm writing it on the check, then it's okay, but...
So we'll write it down in front of you and then spell it out as you're writing 100. Write 100 and then just sound it out when you're... You know, read us back the letters that you're writing.
That's 100... O-N-E-H-U-N-D-R-E-D.
Beautiful!
Try
1,000.
You just write it down and you got the first one right. All right, now Don wants you to write 1,000.
O-N-E-T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D.
Excellent.
Right, mm-hmm. Right now.
He can do it.
1,000,000.
Uh-oh. He's writing it down. You can hear the breathing.
O-N-E-M-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Hey!
Very good.
You are Chico State, my friend.
Very nice.
Well, you showed us.
Way to go.
You sure did show us. How do you spell graduate?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, give it a try. Write it down.
Sound it out. Use the same plan that you've been using to write down these numbers. Graduate.
Someday, like, for example, are you a high school graduate?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're a high school graduate, and, you know, write graduate.
How do you spell graduate?
G-R-A-D-U-W-I-T.
Wow.
That's scary, isn't it?
It's not a joke, right?
You're not joking with us. That was how you.
No, seriously.
Graduate.
Oh my God. And he's in college, such as it is.
Wow. Graduate. Andy is a single successful businessman, Buzz.
That's right.
With the Mickey Mantle rookie card.
Who is the current Republican nominee? Well, not yet, but who is the Republican front runner in the race for president of the United States?
Al Gore.
Yes, that's right, Al Gore.
And who's the other guy?
George Bush.
Absolutely.
Right.
Congratulations.
Who is the president?
Bill Clinton.
Who is his wife?
Hillary.
Who is his daughter?
Chelsea.
Right. Can you spell Chelsea?
Probably not.
Try.
This is fun. I enjoy this part of it's academic.
It's educational.
Chelsea.
C-H-E-L-S-E-A.
Hey!
Very nice.
Excellent job.
All right, let's try pizza.
Pizza?
Yes.
It's on the box in front of you.
P-I-A-Z-Z-A.
Right on.
Excellent job.
Right on. Beautiful.
Any other questions for this young man? Anyone? Ferris?
I'm through.
Anyone?
How many states are there?
51.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
Fine, 52.
Okay.
That's an even number. You got that.
Enough. Good
job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice talking to you.
Oh, my God.
Good luck in your card business.
I think I'll need it now.
There you go. You did.
Right.
Hey, but you hung in there and you answered all our questions. Thank you.
Sure did.
You were a good sport.
Welcome to the 52 states in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
You are now a graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I mean, hold on. We need your information.
All right.
Last four were Alaska, Hawaii, China, and Russia.
We will be right back.
They want to you.
His favorite yellow friend is on the line. Hello, John Kim.
Hey, Don. What's up, brother?
Hey, John Kim on the line.
John Kim.
Listen, hold on there, Kim. With Kim's line being the exception, clear the lines out right now. A special, we have the Homo Joe Anal Express.
Excellent.
Wednesday, we're filling up a bus. Wednesday. Filling up a bus of listeners of this show to go to Paramount's King's Dominion.
That's a great trip.
In Richmond, Virginia, for a free day of fun at the amusement park. Don and Mike Day at King's Dominion. And we have 10 more slots available.
That is going to be a wonderful time.
Not sluts, slots.
Slots.
So if you would like to go on the trip, we have 10 seats for two. We actually have room for 20 more people.
Excellent.
If you can take the day off work Wednesday, we'll take you up to the park, get you in for free, let you ride all the rides, have a great time, be on the show with Homo Joe. Call now at 877-365-3636.
Wonderful.
And tell a little bit about yourself to either Toya Swallows or Lisa the Nympho.
Yes, we're looking for interesting people.
And they will run your bio stuff in. That way, you can just talk to them. You want to go on the trip? Call up now. We'll hear you on the show Wednesday.
Go for it.
So we have room for 10 more couples on the bus right now, but you have to call right now and thank you, King's Dominion. And while they're doing that, let's talk to our yellow friend,
Kim.
John Kim. Excuse me, Kim.
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 Hi. The reason that I'm calling is because yesterday I went to this party that we're sitting around and we were talking about my friend has two sons and another friend has a daughter, and we were talking about the techniques that they use to conceive the sons and the daughters. I was wondering, you have a son and a daughter, Don. What technique did you use for each?
That is a ridiculous premise for a telephone call, John.
Oh, do you understand the question?
He's a bright man. I think he understands the question perfectly.
Like there is some secret formula because for having a boy or having a girl.
There is. We were talking about it and they said there is because the deeper it is, the deeper the penetration, you have a more chance of a boy, and the more shallow the penetration, the ejaculation, it's a girl, because the X chromosomes.
And of course, in your case, no penetration would result in no children.
But what I'm saying is,
John Kim, I've never heard that theory before.
You've never heard it before?
No, I think it is simply God's will that you get whatever you get, which is whatever you get.
The chromosomes are carried by the man that determine the sex.
No, but the X chromosome is a stronger chromosome than the Y chromosome.
John, I guess you were fascinated when the subject of, having babies came up.
No, it was...
Oh.
What the hell was that, John?
John, what the hell's going on?
That's my niece.
Oh, yeah.
That is your niece. How old is she?
I don't know, like one?
Does she have one?
Does she have on one of those Good Morning America, Good Morning Vietnam hats?
Yeah, something like that. But do you understand the question?
You know what I mean. No, what you asked me, what I rebuffed moments ago was your original question. Since I have a daughter, a grown daughter in college, and I have a son who is 15, although their ages don't have anything to do with the argument, since I have a son and a daughter,
right?
Was there a way to say, I'm going to have a daughter this time?
There's
and
no thought process
no.
that went through. They're the,
no,
you know,
it's
most,
not.
The, no. The, no, they're very rare, the instances where somebody would think of the technique
no.
resulting in the sex of the child. Listen, it wouldn't happen, John.
Here's the only technique I want you to work on. Make me some General Chow chicken.
Oh, God.
Make me orange chicken. Make Robbie.
He couldn't make any of that.
Mushu Gai Pan.
He's Korean.
I'm
he couldn't
Korean,
make
any
same
saying.
Difference.
No, absolutely oh. not. There was a story about the Red Sox pitchers that one was Korean and one was Japanese. And, you know, they're being scouted now by the Cubs with all this Sammy Sosa stuff.
And no way that's happening, is it only? Sammy will go to the Yankees.
If George Steinbrenner gets involved, he will definitely be in pinstripes. I will tell you this. They got in a horrible fight. And I'm reading about this article today that couldn't happen at a worse time. A Japanese guy and a Korean guy, they got in this horrible fight, and it turns out the, you know, the Japanese and Koreans, mortal enemies. Now, is that true, John Kim?
That was because the Japanese occupied Korea in the beginning of the...
World War II.
Before World War II.
World War I. Whatever.
Right.
I hate you very much.
So they were, and apparently they got into a fight in the dugout. They had to be separated in the dugout, and then later on they got into another fight at the hotel. And I thought that was an interesting story.
Let's fight. But the problem is, after we fight, I get the urge to fight again 30 minutes later.
All right. Thank you, John Kim.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Always love that charming John Kim laugh.
Worthless. He's interesting when he calls to talk about how he likes to make it with fat chicks.
Right. True.
Very boring when he wants to call with that other stuff.
Yeah, I don't get it.
If you want to see pictures of Tom Gavin's Survivor show.
What a show it was.
They are up on the web right now on Jenna and Shiloh's website. Go to www.2XPOSED.com.
All right.
Then when you get to that website, click on Hot New Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, Buzz, are you going there right now?
Yeah, yes, I am.
All right, we will wait on Father Time to walk us through this. I've been told that the pictures are up now.
Good.
From Friday's Tom Gavin Survivor episode. And if you live in one of the unfortunate markets where they don't have the clarity to run this show from beginning to end,
mm-hmm.
then you should know that Mike D was the big winner.
He was indeed, and he was a deserving winner.
Sorry, we had to pull it out, Buzz.
I understand.
You've been on such a winning streak recently. We haven't heard the Father Time music. And the longer it takes you to search out the site on the web, the more time we have to discuss your rolled-up sleeves on your Fidel Castro shirt.
Well, we can discuss that, but I'm already at the second page of that website looking for the pictures now. Is there any truth to the rumor that earlier today you were out in the fields looking for the world's finest tobaccos?
Yes, yes. Buzz is wearing a short-sleeve Cuban militant-looking shirt that has the sleeves rolled up, even though it's already a short sleeve shirt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he could be a freedom fighter.
Any reason the sleeves are rolled up on a short sleeve shirt?
The sleeves were too long. They came down below my elbow.
Roll them down.
That looked just silly.
Let me see.
All right. Well, it takes like an hour to roll these up.
I would describe that look as silly. Would you describe that as silly?
No, I think technically, Buzz, they do not go below the elbow.
Well, okay.
I think that's terrific, Buzz.
Whatever. I'll just leave one up and one down.
Well, no, don't do that. That's wrong. They both got a match, Buzz. You know, that'll drive me crazy.
Do you roll them up after you put the shirt on, or do you roll them up before perfect afterwards? Okay.
Yeah.
Look at that. A perfect crease every time. God damn.
That's a smart shirt, isn't it?
He's the gentleman's gentleman.
I like that shirt.
I try to look my best. You know?
That's a good thing.
People should do that, shouldn't they?
You got that site yet?
I'm at the front page. I had to back up. This thing's all jammed up, but I am at the site. I'll get the pictures for you shortly.
All I need to know is, do you see the icon that has, click here to see the Tom Gavin pictures?
No, I do not.
No, you don't. Well, you know, it's not Buzz's fault. It's our stupid computers here. All right, Broyhill's going to try to download it on our computer in this studio.
Oh, it's a race.
You know, and for all this technology you hear about every day, I just wish computers in general would just pick up the pace a little bit. You know, you hear about all the state-of-the-art stuff, but to the best of my knowledge, the computers are moving at the same speed they moved at 2 years ago.
Well, you can get a dedicated line and get like a teacher. Well, I guess you're right. Maybe that is the...
Well, you got all the lines, right? I mean, you complain sometimes that yours don't move with lightning speed.
Well,
right?
I get used to clicking on something. As soon as I click on it, the page opens up,
right,
and everything is immediately there.
Unless they go down, right? Unless it goes down or slows down or something.
Yeah, yeah. And for some reason, like, they freeze up all the time, especially when I'm on the Microsoft Internet Explorer. That one freezes constantly on us.
That's, I guess, what I'm saying is that I think that the time has passed for that. And I think that right now we should be just getting state of the art. It ought to be a little more user friendly. I'm looking forward to that, those right. innovations.
Charlie, are they up or not? Can you discern that from what you were able to pull up on your computer?
I don't think they are.
You don't think they are?
She didn't get the email I sent her until this morning.
Oh, all right.
So she has to get them to her guy to put them up.
And as far as the Homo Joe digital photos, those just never materialized.
I don't think he took them.
You don't think he took them? You think he's been lying to us?
I think he's lying.
Well, he's got issues. You know?
Maybe
he's got
some hiding stuff. Them.
He's like sick, you know, with his tummy problems, so I guess we can't be too rough on him.
He would just be honest and just tell us if there are, in fact, beach house pictures. Because don't we still every once in a while get a call on this show where someone says, hey, where are the pictures of the people from the beach house?
A lot of them.
And I saw some non-digital photos that they brought back, and I wanted to see more, too. More of the ladies that we were talking to.
Well, Homo Joe, if you're listening, call us. And just fess up.
I hope he's doing all right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he is.
Wasn't he going in for surgery?
Not until, after the 4th of July or something, right?
Right, after the trip.
Isn't that what he said?
I don't know.
What? Yes.
I don't know. Just look at him.
What are you laughing at?
I do that every day. You'd see me laughing for no reason if Charlie Broyhill was in the studio. Because I look over at Charlie Broyhill and he just makes me laugh for absolutely no reason.
Maybe it's where he's hiding the pictures.
Charlie.
Oh. That's why he's going in.
Stomach.
Yeah.
Where the bump is.
Well, what are you making, a cancer joke?
No.
He doesn't have cancer.
No.
He has a tumor.
He's got a mass. It's about that golf big. Is that, that's what he said about golf ball. I hope he's doing all right.
Me too.
I'm just saying that we shouldn't bust his balls about the pictures, even though I brought it up. We shouldn't bust his balls about the pictures because, he's dealing with that right now. You know?
Yeah, no, I saw that, Charlie. That's not funny.
Stop
on
it.
Your way out of the studio, run this by Buzz.
Thank
please.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Don't laugh. Here's a script for you, Mike.
Bye, Charlie.
Here's a script for you, Robbie.
Bye, Charlie.
Let's get right to today's episode of As the World Ahern.
All right.
Okay? Our continuing radio soap opera drama.
No need to use the cough button, Mike.
That features the radio critic, and I use that word very loosely, of the Washington Times, a fictitious Washington newspaper. Washington Star. Washington Times is a real newspaper.
Yes, yes it is.
Well, the Washington Star used to be a newspaper.
Right. Right.
Okay, let's get right to it. Let me make sure I have all my sound effects I need. Gunshots, cocktail party. Beautiful. It's old-time radio drama being played out right in front of your ears. Ladies and gentlemen, let's turn it over to our studio announcer, Guy Birdley.
When we last left him, our hero, Frank Ahearns, was right in the middle of the greatest day of his life. Not only did he successfully have a prosthetic vagina attached to his previously smooth, uninhabited groin, he had also realized the intense feelings that he felt toward the brilliant doctor responsible for the uncommon medical procedure. Even better, it seemed that the brilliant MD, Dr. Chip Bandwidth, shared Frank's feelings. The couple is currently at the hospital, engaged in a passionate lip lock. Which is Frank's way of saying thanks for the splendid new fake vagina. Their lips part. Frank stares deeply into Dr. Bandwidth's intensely blue eyes and says,
hot dog! I finally feel complete. I have my very own genitalia. And even though it's fake and probably better suited to someone of another gender, I've never felt better. No wonder I've been so miserable for so long. I've been running around with no genitals whatsoever.
Boy, it does seem odd that you could go through life as long as you did without ever needing any sex organs.
It does, doesn't it? But as I proceeded through life's rich pageant, I just never seemed to need them. That is odd, but such is life.
So, boy, are you pleased with your new vagina?
You bet. I have just one question.
Yes?
Are you sure that it's supposed to look like that? It seems a little weird.
Frank? Haven't you ever seen a vagina before?
No, Chip. I really haven't.
I mean, I could have guessed by the way you kissed me that you've never been with a woman before. But haven't you ever seen a woman's private parts in an adult magazine or maybe in a pornographic motion picture?
Oh, no way, Jose. The porno that I enjoy tends to focus on other aspects of the human sexual condition, like bowel movements. Oh, and what's with that hair?
Well, since you're totally devoid of body hair, Frank, me and the nurses bought you a fine new merkin, and it looks fine.
Thanks, Doc.
And trust me, Frank, vaginas all look like that for the most part. But yours may be a little prettier than most because I worked extra hard on it.
Oh, Dr. Bandwidth, you say the sweetest thing.
Frank Ahearn's made a fast recovery and his plastic genitals healed without incident. On the third day, he was ready to be discharged, and Dr. Bandwidth came up to hospital room 69 to handle the paperwork personally. It seemed that a relationship was brewing between the two that exceeded doctor and patient.
Oh, Dr. Bandwidth, I'm sure going to miss your daily visits to my hospital room. 69 will never be the same without you.
I'll miss them too, boy. Here, slip out of that gown. That's right. Ooh, baby. I got you a special gift. Here it is.
Oh, goody gumdrops. A leather bustle shirt and tight capri pants. I'll be the talk of the town, Doc.
You bet, boy. Your camel toe will be on everyone's lips. In a manner of speaking, of course.
That's right. Some things are just for a man and his doctor. Oh, Dr. Bandwidth, I don't know what I'm going to do without your daily checkups. The probes, the rub downs, the rectal thermometer 10 times daily. By the way, do most transplant patients run the risk of a fever?
No, but you can never be too careful.
I suppose. In any case, I just don't want it to end.
It doesn't have to.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that. Do you want to go to a party with me tonight? All the Washington, D.C. newspaper community will be there.
Boy, I wouldn't miss it.
Good! I was going to take Sergio. But believe me, that Venezuelan vixen is yesterday's news. I got me a doctor!
Later that day, Frank and Dr. Bandwidth arrived at an exclusive party for the Washington, D.C. newspaper community. All the journalistic heavy hitters were there, and so was Frank.
Oh, boy. What a great party.
Hey, did you try the clam dip, Dr. Bandwidth?
Actually, Frank, that's not the clam dip. I think it's Kurt Buchwald's drool cup.
Ooh, that explains the cigar taste.
I'm glad we finally got in.
I know. That doorman sure was a pest. Even though I had my Washington Star press pass, he still wouldn't let us in.
Well, I could see his point, boy. You're a radio critic, not a real journalist.
Touché.
Listen, boy, shouldn't we be mingling with all your contemporaries?
I'd rather give you another thank you kiss.
Maybe later.
No.
Let's meet some folks first.
Oh, I don't know, Chip. Everyone hates me.
Well, it is a competitive business.
No, not just journalists, everyone. Everyone hates me, even Sergio.
But you two were so close.
Well, the breakup went badly. But I let him keep all my Judy Garland records and the DVD of The Birdcage.
How sweet of you. But Frank, do you still think everyone at this party hates you?
I know they do. Dr. Gridlock just spit in my daiquiri.
What about that guy over there? Everyone loves columnist Rob Levy. Hey, Rob Levy!
Well, this is the Dr. Chip Bandwidth, the brilliant surgeon.
Can you give us that line again, Robbie?
Well, if it isn't Dr. Chip Bandwidth, the brilliant surgeon.
How nice of you to remember me, Mr. Levy.
Well, how could I possibly forget your generous donations to my Send a Kid to Camp campaign?
Sorry you didn't make your goal this year. Or last year.
Thanks.
Or the year before.
All right, Chip, we get the idea.
I was wondering if you'd like to talk to me and my friend, Frank Ahearns.
The useless radio critic? Ha! No thanks!
Come on, give him a chance.
All right, but I know I'll regret it. No one in the industry likes or respects Frank Ahearns. You doing any gardening this summer, idiot? Corn? Tomatoes?
Nope. But there's lots of corn on my website, catlover.com.
Well, I'm taking a trip to Mexico in August.
Well, that's something. Are either of you familiar with the Spanish tongue?
Only Sergio's.
This is useless. The man is a fool. What about radio? Can we at least discuss DC radio? I mean, me, just like every other person in town, loves the Don and Mike show. I love the Don and Mike show. How about you, radio critic? How do you feel about the number one show in the market?
Oh, it's just like reading your old lines. Don't know. I never listened to them, but I've got some great tapes of the Joy Boys that I'm quite fond of.
At that moment, the door bursts open to reveal one angry, dark-skinned, beautiful man. It's Frank's ex-life partner, Sergio. And he has a gun.
Nasty boy, I kill you, Frank Ahearns, and now we see who is the man in our relationship.
Oh my God! He picked me right up my prosthetic vulva.
Are you crazy, critic? Die! And all this is for fun. I kill Leonard Shapiro too.
Join us next time when Dr. Chip Bandwidth kneels down to Frank's lifeless body and says,
"Don't sweat it, sweetheart. I can save you. Because these hands have been touched by God."
Only on As the World Ahearns.
Thank you, boys. Wonderful episode.
Thank you, everybody.
Terrific. I think we're grinding towards the end of our daily radio drama.
Wow.
Well, listen, we've been doing it almost a full week now.
Yes, sir.
I think so. Boy, it was terrific.
Certainly must get the message. Maybe we'll have one final wrap-up episode.
Yeah, lots of carnage.
As the World Ahearns. Of course, dedicated to useless Washington Post radio critic Frank Ahearns.
Bravo.
Who had the balls to write in the paper last week that afternoon drive radio should be replaced. More specifically, our show should be replaced by a daily radio drama.
So we decided we'd give him a daily drama, and I sure love it.
There you go. You're the star, Frank. We'll be right back.
No empty-headed ball busters allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
Somebody tell the freaking Vermont Teddy Bear Company, unless they pay us, that's the last commercial we're going to read for them.
Absolutely.
How many of those are we doing on the come for them? Well, that's
a
lot, right?
Idea. You know what? It was one of those deals where I didn't pay that close attention.
I mean, they paid us like back in Valentine's Day when it was a Valentine's Day bear.
Sure seems like it.
Right?
It sure seems like it. You know, it's tough to keep track all the time, but I think you're absolutely right about that.
Right.
I got that bad feeling.
Me too.
A bad feeling that we're doing something for nothing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, this is Sean. I'm a CEO of a company out in Manassas, and I've got a story for you about why Maxim magazine is going to be the downfall of my company.
Because they didn't print our list of the 100 hottest women?
Hey, this is better. If you guys read the magazine, and I know you do, then you know that they've got surveys every month. And it's things like how many women, 1 in 12, 1 in 30, will have their self shaved down there, or if you'd be willing to sleep with another woman. Well, since we get Maxim and we're all full of testosterone, we think that these approaches work 100% of the time. One of my employees today was talking to the young lady upstairs, asking her where she fit into this survey, asking her about shaving down there and threesomes and things of that nature.
Let me just stop you for a second. Hold on. Wait. Did you write all of this down? Are you reading this right now?
No, we've been laughing all day, Don and Mike, so hard that we just know this. This is just unbelievable. Let me get to the point so I don't waste your time or the audience's. While this happened, his cell phone button in his pocket got hit, unbeknownst to him, and dialed his wife, who listened to the entire conversation with this woman about filming her and seeing her naked in the office after hours and all the crazy things that Maxim talked about this month. His wife called him back, told him to come get all of his things. She was leaving. Divorce papers would be filed this week with him.
Was it you?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I just run these monkeys. Not a chance.
But I'll tell you, you know, the something even a lot milder than that resulted in, wasn't it that guy that worked for a beer company or something that right. got fired and sexual harassment and all? He was just talking about the Jerry Seinfeld episode.
Right, so
I mean, if you were talking about shaving down there, that would definitely fit into the...
But this was with his wife, though.
Yeah, his wife threw him out because she overheard the conversation.
Right, but why couldn't the guy just call his wife back and say, listen, it's perfectly
honest. She left here in tears. This is a 250-pound guy screaming, I've got to go get my stuff. I've got to save my marriage. We tried to contact him since, and we have no idea if he's alive, dead, or if she's shot him.
No, listen, please. You're so overreacting. This would be an easy mistake to clear up. You go home with a copy of the magazine. You say to your wife, listen, I was reading this magazine at work. I was reading this to Lisa. You know Lisa. Here are the questions that I was asking her.
Is that what was he reading directly out of the magazine?
He had it memorized because we sit here and we look at it the first of the month and we think that this is going to get us all these hot chicks. So we try the approach, and he tried it at a really bad time.
Well, what are you talking? You see, there's just so much. You're manically expressing yourself, and it's difficult to follow you.
Was he reading out of a magazine?
He was talking to her based upon what he read and had memorized.
Yeah, but he was talking.
That would be really hot to get her hot and bothered and have a funny conversation.
So this married guy thinks it's a good idea to get a coworker all hot and bothered by talking about shaving pubic hair.
You have to understand, I've got 15 guys that work for me. There's not a woman in the office, though we're working on that EEOC. And this is the lady upstairs who came down for a smoke break and had a conversation that started out innocent and just moved into Maxim, took off. There was about four of us out there, just couldn't believe he was having this conversation. And that's when the phone went off in his pocket.
Well, then why don't you just, if all of this is true, why don't you just call the wife?
Instead of calling a radio show.
To say, listen, I happen to know that... He was just quoting something out of a magazine.
That he didn't mean. Was he trying to hit on the girl?
Well, I think he just meant it in jest, but it's just gotten blown out of proportion because she's a firecracker as it is, and she's just going off the deep end. And
his wife lives with his parents,
so he's got to deal with them when he gets home.
So they live with his parents?
Yeah.
With her parents?
So what did his wife hear when his cell phone went off? And what turned his cell phone on? Was his penis? What?
Oh, no.
how does a cell phone just turn itself on or just?
Well, you know, like the one time we heard your wife when she was like in the convenience store or something, and she'd hit the button accidentally, and we listened for a whole time.
I know, but she was in a store though. What I'm saying is, if this guy's just standing there talking
even
to
if
a girl,
his hands in his pockets or something, maybe he hits the button actually, and it's in his pocket.
Something went off. It just happened.
All right.
He maybe backed into the button, but it dialed his wife. I mean, of all the people he could have dialed, his wife listened to the entire conversation.
So was he just talking like naughty talk with this lady, or was he actually trying to pick her up? Because you're saying, you know, you're saying things like it was a survey of Maxim, but then I hear you say things like he wanted to film her doing it, and was he saying stuff like that? Boy, I'd like to see you do that.
I think he was okay up until the point when he started saying, my wife won't shave down there for me. My wife will never let me have a threesome.
Okay, see, that's not in the magazine.
Right.
No, well, he definitely took it one step further than he should have.
So he's hitting on the girl.
He's a happily married guy. Rule number one, don't get caught. Rule number two, don't get caught. He got caught. It's all over. He's done.
Listen, who could stand to be married to this blowhard? Jesus Christ.
Can you picture the brothers? You are, without a doubt, the gods of all relationships, savers and builders and so forth.
Well, you actually asking, do you think we can do anything?
Well, Christ, I know I can't. God, I'm looking for advice from the men here.
Well, what you should do, if you're the boss, if you're his boss,
you should call her up
and say that you guys were egging him on to do this.
So we've got to take the fall to save this guy.
See, you're not even hearing me. I just gave you a suggestion, and you just totally ignored it.
Well, listen,
I'm listening to it, Dad. If you think that,
what do you mean take the fall? How do you take the fall? It's no skin off your nose. You don't have to live with a woman.
What I see happening and knowing this.
Hold it. What I just said to you was, you're the boss. Just say, hey, we were all fooling around. Call the wife and talk. And then you said, hey, we've got to do something. So you totally blew it off. I mean, why don't you do that?
I'll try it. I have no other advice. Why not take the course? I will try that.
Why not what?
I have no other option, so I will try that.
Step one, sir, less caffeine. See, really, I mean, to be honest,
hackers, all we do is tap in day in and day out.
If I can be serious with you about this, if we got involved, it would only make the situation worse. Because it would be on the radio, and that wouldn't make her feel very good.
Nothing wrong with that, Mike.
Absolutely nothing wrong.
Thanks for your advice, gentlemen.
Okay, right, whatever.
Long live Don and Mike. Peace out.
It's I think it's crap anyway.
Yeah, 100% crap. Yeah,
absolutely.
And if it was true, it was just a guy going upstairs to try to hit on the only girl who works in the office.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, seriously, that guy with the beer company was, got in big trouble for that. If it was a coworker,
right.
You know, it's just not that, you know, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody has a right to be pissed,
it's the girl that, you know,
that he was talking to.
Yeah, it's like, what's this guy coming up and talking to me about shaving my private?
Shaving my cunning.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Buddy.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, Buzz. Hey, Mike, I think your wife is hot.
Well, thank you, sir. I do, too.
Yeah, she sounds really hot on the telephone.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you feel that way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's all he wanted to say.
Get ready to life for life in the public arena, Mike.
I actually had a conversation with her after she was on the radio. She enjoyed it, but she didn't enjoy it enough to make it a regular occurrence.
Oh, her decision or your decision?
She said that. I mean, she, actually mutual. I don't like her being on the radio.
Okay.
No, but she said, I actually asked her that. And I said, did you enjoy that? Do you want to do that on a regular basis? And she said, no, I don't think so. That was the direct quote.
Well, the door's always open.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now that she has the hotline number, the door is open.
Well, you know, next time, maybe next Father's Day.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi. I don't believe that guy for 1 minute about the cell phone.
I don't either.
No.
I mean, it's just too... It sounds too made up.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you for stating the obvious. Hello, Don and Mike. Oops. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
What was that website again? Y'all are giving out the pictures.
www.2exposed.com.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I just wanted to clarify that your cell phone can go off in your pocket. I got back playing baseball with my daughter one day.
And my
wife came out back and said, where's your cell phone? I said, it's in my pocket.
It's right here next to the English's fried chicken and cell phone. So the cell phone goes off in my pocket, boy.
That's right, hon. It goes off all the time here, hon. Especially when I'm eating steamed crabs and drinking some Natty Bo.
Turn it off.
Right.
They'll keep it on. They'll keep it on. If you didn't want it to go off, turn it off.
That's right. You got to turn it off or leave it on the shelf. The thing is, zinc.
You hit that button, and then it goes off, and, you know, that's the whole reason. It's not anybody's fault except yours because you had it turned on.
You
don't turn it on.
If you leave it by the zinc, don't turn on the faucet.
Don't turn it on. Embalmer.
Right,
Natty Bo
forever.
Natty Bo. Oh, Albert Dale's so hot. Oh, he's fantastic. Hey, the O's are coming on.
Hello.
They're coming on, especially during night games.
They're coming on.
Hello?
Hello.
My brothers.
Tom.
Hey, star of Friday's show, Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Hello, Tommy. What can we do for you?
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Tommy.
If anybody's out there listening, they can go to 2exposed.com.
I just gave it out, Tom.
They're not up yet.
Right. They will be shortly. Yeah. Did you enjoy the experience on Friday?
Yes, I did.
Beautiful. Was that maybe the best day of your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. What was your favorite part of the show, Tom?
The massage.
The massage, the butt massage.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought that. That's great. When they were rubbing you down, when it took you a long time to get down on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you talked to Dennis?
Nope.
No?
Mm-hmm. Good. Anything you'd like to say to Dennis?
I can't say it, right?
what does it start with?
F.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Thank you, though, Tom.
You guys are going to get a copy of the tape.
The videotape.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Beautiful. Thank you. I'll play it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. You did a great job, Tom.
And next one we're going to be doing? Are we going to be doing the next one?
No.
Not for a while.
No, not for a while?
That was it, Tom.
Can I go on the bus trip Wednesday?
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Nope.
No, Tom.
No.
No.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How about a roar, Tom?
Right, okay.
Very nice.
Bye-bye, Tom.
Bye.
He said goodbye.
Yeah.
He rarely says goodbye.
The very famous Tom the Monster Gavin, everybody.
Sad.
There he is, yes. Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
He wants some more.
Ask for him by name. When's the next thing we're doing? Hey, how about this Friday, Tom?
Yeah, a little taste. Yeah. Friday's good.
How about every Friday, Tom? Just come on down. Clear the lines right now. Toe tappers. Right there, the touch tones, and it's time for the secret sound. And your shot at $500.
All right.
Lies straight ahead. Be the 100th person to call in right now at 877-365-3636.
The patron saints of jizz, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Call 100 times. Right now. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
That's a cell gone bad.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Salutations, Don and Mike. This is your caller 100.
Yes, yes, you are. What's your name?
Laura.
Where are you from, Laura?
Brandywine.
Laura, call 100, and you have won a great prize. You won a Palm Pilot.
Oh, that is a good prize.
Hey!
Do you have one of those babies?
No, I don't. Thank you.
We've all got them. We love them. Your Palm Pilot is courtesy of Vendingo. For restaurants, bar shops, and movies, download Vendingo.
Vendingo!
Free on your Palm Pilot today. But wait, there's more. Now you get a shot at the big money, $500 online. Secret sound number 4. Have you heard it before?
I have heard it, yes.
God bless you. At least you've heard it.
Good.
And your radio wasn't turned up loud.
She's a good caller.
Mm. Perfect caller. Certainly much better than the boy who works at the baseball card store.
But we kept him on for an hour.
We sure did. Well, because he's a graduate.
Sometimes the bad callers are the good callers.
WIT graduate. For $500, we'll play you the secret sound now. Please don't answer until Mike things like
BG.
And we wish you GS.
Caller, name this sound.
Here it is, a common everyday sound. Of course, BG stands for Bob Goulet. GS stands for
Godspeed.
And the odds are in my favor.
Talking during your song.
That's all right. I just plot ahead.
Sorry. For $500, what is that sound?
Is it a manual credit card machine?
No.
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope. Not a bad guess, though.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
For you. I was reading Larry King's column today.
Hi.
And is that documented that he doesn't know Sandy Koufax?
I believe that's a big story about Larry King, is that for years and years he claimed they were boyhood friends, and then someone asked Sandy Koufax, and Koufax denied ever even knowing, even acknowledging whether they lived in the same neighborhood.
And notice how carefully he worded that part of his column today when he talks about, he doesn't say he knew Sandy Koufax, he just says,
it was fun spending time last week with Sandy Koufax, the Hall of Fame pitcher who was in L.A. for the annual blah, 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 blah. Koufax and I both attended Lafayette High School in Brooklyn.
There you go. That's
and
it.
And he looks like he could pitch tomorrow. Sandy's only 63.
So that's it. So that's where the fable probably was created, that they went to the same high school.
Right. But for the longest time, and I remember when we did a morning show, when Larry did his overnight radio show,
we talked about Sandy Koufax
driving in and talking about playing
stickball
on the corner in Brooklyn with the egg creams. I played stickball with the great Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax. And then they asked Sandy Koufax, no, that never happened.
They said, you ever heard of Larry King? And he said, no. They said, you ever heard of Larry Zeiger?
Right.
No. They showed him a picture. You know this guy?
No. And they attended the same high school. There it is.
Right.
They attended the same. And no dates, so they very possibly attended high school during different years.
There certainly was nothing,
Larry.
Nothing to that story. You know, I'm looking at the rest of USA Today.
And you know, it's probably been killing him. So he finally has an opportunity. You know, you're funny the way you say he wrote it.
Right.
He may not have even talked to Sandy Koufax at the event they were. It was fun spending time. You can say that, and you're in the same room.
It's possible they were in the same room at a cocktail party.
Absolutely.
Right. I spent some time with Sandy Koufax.
I just like to say, you know, that year that I went to the Orioles game, it was fun spending time with Cal Ripken.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that and get away.
You could.
That's what newspaper guys can do.
Yes, they
I
can.
Would give anything to talk to Sandy Koufax.
I'd like to know, did you speak to Larry King? Did he, you know, he's a big star now. Perhaps they did exchange.
Yeah. Why don't you call this charity and see if you can arrange a call to Sandy Koufax, even if we like have to donate $1,000 or something,
just to see if he actually spoke to Larry King.
And then, you know, tell him we need to ask him 3 questions.
Right.
First, Did you speak to Larry King?
At the charity event.
Second, did you know Larry King?
Growing up.
When you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And third,
would you consider Larry King to be a friend of yours?
Those are the three questions.
Perfect.
And we'll pay him $1,000 if he answers those questions.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Brilliant. For the great Sandy Koufax. Okay, one other thing that I didn't see in USA Today, and we have to do this quickly because we're running out of time. We have to get the buzz. I saw nothing about the marriage of Regis's producer, Michael Gelman, in the newspaper.
That's right. Not a word.
So let me dial the Philbin home.
Oh, good.
Because I know that he talked about it on his TV show today, on the show with Kathy C. Gifford. But also he's upset. He's blindly jealous.
Hello?
Regis.
Who's this?
Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on air with us?
I was sleeping. Hold on a second. Regis. You caught me while I was just sleeping. Who's this?
Regis, huh? This is the Don and Mike show.
I was taking a nap.
How you doing, Reed?
Hi, Don. Hi, how are you? Let me get myself together. Hold on a second. Give me a chance to splash some water on my face, will you?
Go ahead, Reed.
Just put the phone down for a second. I'm gonna go splash some water on my face. I'll be right with you.
All right. He's sleeping.
You woke him up.
There's the old man, Loogie. Oh, Reed.
Oh, man.
Late in the evening. What are you doing sleeping now?
I just fell asleep on the sofa, which I always do. Joy, normally in the afternoon, makes me a sandwich, and I fall asleep. She brings it in on a TV tray, and then I fall asleep. I fall asleep in my recliner, my easy chair. Did you ever see The Godfather with Hyman Roth?
Sure.
When he was down at his house down in Florida? That's what it looks like. I sit on the little porch, and she brings me a tuna fish sandwich, and I fall asleep in the chair watching soap operas. That's usually what I do every day. So how are you? Hey, pal. How are you? How's it going? You're watching Millionaire? I'm hot, baby.
Regis, how was the wedding on Saturday?
It was all right. It was fine.
No, come on.
No, it was fine.
Michael Gelman, your longtime producer, got married on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm very happy for him. Hope he has a good life with what's her name. It was a lovely ceremony. We had a good time, and I wish him well, then fine.
I think a lot of us, frankly, were surprised that you were not chosen as Michael Gelman's best man. Regis?
Oh,
Regis?
Hold on. Just give me a minute.
Regis?
Yeah, I was upset about that, too. I was very upset about that.
You're close to him, aren't you?
He's like another wife to me.
He is like an altar boy, and you are like a Catholic priest. Isn't that right?
Yeah, what he did was he got a childhood friend or a long-term buddy to be his best man. And I said, well, then fine, if you want to do that. But, I mean, I've had a closer relationship with him than anybody, and I just was a little, Don, you know the story between, Gelman and myself.
I think we know what's really going on between you and Gelman.
I'm so lonely. I just wish he was here. I wish the marriage had never taken place. I wish that God, that son of a bitch, had made me his best man, at least for the send-off.
Now, what about your wife, Joy?
Oh, come on, please. The beard and beards. She's not the one who makes me tick. She's not the one who makes me go. It's Gelman. And I know he's gone on his honeymoon, and he told me in the back room at the place where they had the reception that, he's coming back soon, and it's not going to be, he's going to be gone for 2 weeks.
You know what he's doing right now?
He's going to be gone.
Right now, you know what he's doing?
Yeah.
Intercourse.
What, with her?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
There's no way in hell.
Yes, he has full penetration.
Oh, come on now. He got married to make it look like the one. He got married for the same reason I got married. The reason is for appearances' sake. He loves me. He likes having sex with me. Nobody else. We're together that way. No one else. We've had the discussions and our bonding together. No one gets between that. Between the sheets, it's us. All right, you made me come out and say it, and I regret it, but I got to tell the truth.
When is the last time that you gave it to your wife, Joy?
Oh, come on. What kind of question is that? I don't know. When we procreated, that's...
Are the children yours?
Yes, they are. Yeah, I did it. I did it even though it was, it was a long time ago and far, far away. It was. I'll tell you right now, you know, you know the facts. You're the only guy I tell this to, Don. I tell you because I just think you should know. You should understand what we're going through. And right now, as you know, and I think you're tapping into it, I'm having a bad time of it. I'm in a really rough spot, even with all the success. All the success in the world isn't going to bring my Michael Gelman back.
And the fact of the matter is
that... God, I miss him. I miss him.
And the
I miss
fact
being with him. I'm with him every night and morning.
The fact is that while he's gone,
yeah,
the honey came back.
Hey, hold on.
What?
Joey Turner.
Oh, Joey's there.
Hi, no, I'm on the phone. The radio guy. What? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'll see you later. See you tonight? Sure. You need a ride to the airport? All right, bye. Yeah, bye. Yes. All right.
You are listening to A Loveless Marriage.
No idea. That's Joy. She's going on.
Why don't you tell her you love her?
Oh,
scream it out now. Come on.
Okay, I'll scream it out. She's going. She's halfway downstairs, but I'll scream it out.
Okay.
I love you. There you go. Okay. All right, I did it. So anyway, how have you been?
Now listen, how did you get through this morning? Your first day without him and?
Yeah.
The big C was back in
work today. Well, she was actually better than she normally is. You know, she wasn't swimming in Lake Mead because she knew I was in a lot of pain, and we made it through. We muddled it through. But I did not like looking at the videotape of the wedding because it just brought back all the painful memories. But, you know, he gave me a nice send-off and said some nice things to me in private, just the two of us, and that's what we did. And we had a good time, and I said, well, then fine. Congratulations.
Does Cuddy Lee know about your real relationship with Gelman?
Oh, Miss Born Again, are you kidding me? For the life of me, no. Absolutely not. She figured that I was disappointed about the best man thing and that I was disappointed about the fact that he's going away for a while. And I need him because he's my right-hand man. She knows nothing of the relationship that we really have, which is closer than any producer and talent should ever have. It's a much deeper, closer relationship that's a little physical.
Have you talked to him?
Physical.
Have you talked to him on the phone since he's been in wherever he is now? Hawaii.
I can't say that. He doesn't want me to reveal his honeymoon, but we've talked twice. We talked twice today.
All right. Let me just ask you one last question in Pig Latin.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Have hay.
Uh huh.
Ouye. Add hay.
Uh huh.
Own say. X say. Is way. Eichel may. Elman gay. On a is a honeymoon hay.
Eichel may. Elman gay. And they are way. Have hay. Own say. X say. Christ way.
Ooh.
Oh.
There you are.
Uds day.
Oh, eight gray. Oye. Fantastic say.
Wow.
Elman gay. Hood gay. Own say. X say.
How does he get away from his wife to have Onfei XA with you when he's on his honeymoon?
Hey, Papa. Gift shop gay. Oinge ando ute gift shop gay. Onske hegis ray. Onfei XA alway hey.
Usen day EA. Half hey ute. Have hey XA is way. I've A?
Onay way. Onay X say is way ice way. Onay. Amis pray, aid may, ute aegis ray. All right?
All right.
Spell it out for you.
No, I got you, Regis.
He'll be on his honeymoon for 2 weeks and on say X say every AA day.
Okay, Regis. Thank you.
A-A-M-A. All right. Hey, that's great. I like that. You cheered me up. I'm going to go back and sit in the recliner. I've got a little half-eaten tuna sandwich here. And Joy's on the way to the airport. God knows where she's going. I love you. All right. Okay, you guys take care.
Bye, gang.
Hey, Buzz, how are you?
Hey, good, Regis.
Right,
how are you?
Hi to Tom Gatton.
I will do that.
All right, bye-bye.
But guy, Bay.
Wow.
But guy, Bay. He's cracking me up. Oh, man.
Oh, Bay, excellent. It's time for News and Comment now with Guy Birdley.
I didn't know he spoke Pig Latin.
The phone is still open. Hold on a minute. Oh.
Oh, no.
He's doing something.
Oh, it can't be.
Oh. No. I believe he's starting a fire. He's pretending that he's on the show Survivor.
It must be. It's a struggle. I think you cheered him up.
He's taking a workout, I think.
I don't know what he was doing.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Well, that's Buzz.
He made it up.
What are you making up tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, one of the Sopranos is dead.
Oh, is it the mama?
Yeah.
Oh, the mama Sopranos,
man.
Yeah. All right, everybody, stay tuned. Mike, listen, no need to be upset.
Yeah, you're right.
That just means this week we'll have a great segment on the show from heaven. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
And Mike Show. That was very
professional.
My dad doesn't like my attitude. So Uncle Pussy said that I should come down here and talk to you. Because you're old and have wisdom and stuff.
Oh, his mother's another one. Well, what'd you do?
I took Mom's car out of the garage and it got wrecked.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What's the purpose?
Of what?
Being here on our planet.
Why does everything have to have a purpose? The world is a jungle. And if you want my advice, Anthony, don't expect happiness. You won't get it. People let you down. And I'm not naming any names. But in the end, you die in your own arms. It's all a big nothing. What makes you think you're so special?
Broadcasting with an extra stitch for your pleasure, the Don and Mike Show.
Prophetic words. Mm-hmm. There she is. Mama Soprano.
Yeah.
We'll be channeling her.
Uh-huh.
Almost challenging her.
Challenging her. And that, talk about not a fair fight.
We will be channeling her on a show later this week.
Oh, good.
The late Mrs. Soprano.
Mm-hmm.
And today was her birthday.
Yep. Yes, it would have been.
Yeah, happy birthday. That's a nice birthday present. Happy birthday, you're dead.
Kind of interesting that you go out on the same day you came in.
Well, she actually died yesterday.
No, the day before.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care about that detail.
No, not at this
Why
point.
Why should we?
Exactly. So for the record, she died today. Okay. On her birthday.
On her birthday. It's a better story. Once again, Buzz, make it up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm trying to learn. Actress Nancy Marchand, Tony Soprano's mother from the HBO show The Sopranos, is dead at the age of 71. She had been battling cancer. She also played a newspaper publisher on the CBS drama Lou Grant, which was a spinoff of the Mary Tyler Moore show. Should have used her in more episodes last year.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do this year?
You know, they ought to write that in, that she died.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope they do that.
Right.
She was also the governor or the mayor in the Naked Gun movie, the first one.
That's right. I remember that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Where
really different.
And it was the one where they had the fake Queen Elizabeth at the baseball game.
The great-looking look-alike celebrity.
Right.
The queen that they just used as much as they could.
High school football doesn't have a prayer. That's the ruling from the Supreme Court today, specifically that a student cannot lead the crowd in prayer before a public school-sponsored football game.
I know you fought that, Don. I know you were down there urging them to enact it as a law that there's a prayer before every game over the PA system.
So about what I'm doing like football coaches do.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me! Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name!
Notre Dame, our mother, pray for us!
The court says students can still...
Ravens!
students can still pray individually so long as they don't disrupt class or other students.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars!
Rush Limbaugh may wind up in the Monday Night Football booth, but one report says he shouldn't get too comfortable there. A USA Today survey shows Limbaugh to be the clear favorite to co-host the game with Al Michaels.
I talked to someone today who works at USA Today.
Yes.
And that person, who you may know,
uh-huh.
Yes, he's a famous writer, isn't he? Told me that he did not get the job on Monday Night Football, and that is final, 100% official. He did not get the job.
Yes, he just, he was the favorite in that poll, but we all know how accurate that poll was.
Right. Right, because remember, Tom Gavin and Dennis Murphy got 5,000 votes each in that poll.
If they'd counted all the votes, the real votes, Tom Gavin and Dennis Murphy would have won. Well, one report quotes ABC Disney chief Michael Eisner as saying the network would not be doing a contract with Limbaugh. Eisner reportedly told a group of executives last week that the possibility of guest spots should be investigated. Eisner has passed on Limbaugh before, back when he had a chance to buy the rights to the conservative talkers radio show.
This person that I talked to said that without doubt, no way Rush Limbaugh is on Monday Night Football.
Ever, ever, ever.
Ever.
Okay.
That's it, he's done.
So you spoke to this person, did you do so before noon?
Oh, no, it was afternoon.
Oh, well,
then that's it, it's gospel.
You know.
Where's Mrs. Blaine's box of capsules?
Sure. That sounds familiar.
That's Deep Throat right there.
Did you hear what I said?
Right. Thank you. Thank you, mystery columnist.
What kind of tricks are you pulling in anyway? Why didn't you deliver them right away? Don't you know that boy's very sick?
You know, it sounds to me right. like he's talking from scenes from It's a Wonderful Life, not he's talking about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. It could be he's Mr. Gower, the druggist in the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
You lazy loafer.
The scene where Mr. Gower receives a telegram that his son has been killed in World War II and he gets very drunk.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
What's that, Rob? Yeah.
World War One.
World War One.
Right.
That's right.
George, George.
That's right, World War One.
Is this the one where the George's ear starts hurting him?
His bad ear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, George.
Doesn't he actually hit George in his bad ear?
He does. He thinks he's giving Mrs. Blaine the wrong capsule.
No, no.
He thinks he hasn't delivered the capsules, and George knew they were poison.
Right. I made the rounds of my charge accounts.
There he is. That's the man who told me, without fail, that, what's his name, Rush Limbaugh will not be on Monday Night Football.
Take that to the bank.
Yeah,
a very small bank.
TV viewers in Tampa missed the final moments of Tiger Woods' historic play at the U.S. Open. That's because WFLA-TV down there broke in with a weather bulletin at that particular moment.
Like when he's walking up 18?
Just as Woods missed a birdie putt.
Why don't they do what all the other TV stations do? Just put like a
crawler,
a lightning bolt. Where I was watching yesterday on the Baltimore station, they just have a lightning bolt in the upper left-hand corner of the screen that says, you know, bad weather's coming.
The TV boys got very excited because they had a picture. They had a picture they wanted to show immediately. Just as Woods missed a birdie putt, viewers saw a live picture of a water spout over Tampa Bay.
That's like the only dramatic moment in what was otherwise a yawner because Tiger Woods went. So they were going to see if he makes the birdie putt, he sets the record for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think it was a yawner because
I was watching it because, but the moment, the dramatic moment was when he was going for that birdie putt. That was the big moment to see if he was good. That was the only challenge that he had left.
No, every single hole, and you know, I'm not an avid golfer. I never play, and I hate watching it on TV because it's so friggin' boring. But Tiger Woods does bring something extra to it. They would show these incredible golf holes where you gotta hit it over a river,
Pebble Beach.
Yeah, you got to hit it over a river, to where the green is on an island, and if you hit it too far, it goes into the ocean.
Right, that's right.
And they were showing all of these guys come up there and whiffing and hitting it off to the side, and Tiger Woods, time and time again, just comes up and
yeah, he's just nailing it.
Boom. Now, and also I'll tell you one other thing I noticed.
Yeah, he bench presses over 300 pounds.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
When I go to play golf, on my best day, the best day ever, I can hit the ball 200 yards, but that only happens like 1 out of 500 times.
Right.
And that's when I'm using one of those big Bertha clubs.
Yeah, the driver.
That virtually has a head so big that a blind guy could come up and hit it.
Right.
I saw Tiger Woods yesterday. They said it's like 300 yards to the pin. He wants to hit it about 200 yards. He pulls out a sand wedge. Okay, this is something that the regular guy uses to hit the ball when you're in the sand.
Right, you get out of
he chance. Comes with the biggest pussy club in his bag.
Right.
Leans back. Boom! 200 yards with a sand wedge.
Incredible. And at one point, you know, the one of the cool moments in that golf tournament yesterday was his sleeve. Got, like, on his swing, got caught, and it was, like, rolled up like Buzz's sleeve.
Rolled it up.
Because he wears really long sleeves that actually go down there, and you don't realize that the guy is, like, the Incredible Hulk, and then they said right after that he actually bench presses. He doesn't look it. He doesn't look like a guy that would do that. He bench presses over 300 pounds.
That Dick David Duvall does look like a guy who does all that work, and it's not helped his golf game at all.
Oh, yeah, I get so sick of looking at him anyway. You know, he's just walking around going,
meow, meow, meow. The other thing I noticed is, boy, while they talk a good game, all those big golfers, they really freaking hate Tiger Woods.
They try so hard. I get that impression, too, that a lot of them try so hard, you know, to be gentlemen and to say the right thing. When
they hate him.
They're just jealous. They're jealous because he's a prodigy.
He's so great.
Yeah, he's great.
He's so great. It's like by the second day, they knew he was going to win.
he was like, it was his tournament after the second round, which it might happen in other tournaments, never in the U.S. Open.
And they interview all these guys like, well, you know, anybody can have a bad day, but even on his worst day, he's great. He's a compliment to the game of golf.
And they're like, man, this sucks. Nobody even has a chance.
That's what they probably are saying to themselves.
This really sucks.
The other thing I notice the announcers saying all the time was they'd get a guy up on the hole, like a regular golfer, a pro golfer, but a regular golfer. They'd say, this pin placement is impossible, and with the way the wind is, he's going to be lucky to get it within 40 feet of the pin.
Right.
And the guy would shoot, and yeah, it would be about 50 feet away. Tiger Woods would stand up and they'd say, he's got a chance of coming within 12 inches of the pin, and then goddamn if he doesn't hit it 3 inches away from the hole.
It's incredible. I mean, he really is.
I mean, he's good. I know that's no bulletin. Hello from the Moron News Network.
But it's fun to watch.
Tiger Woods is good.
That was the story, too. I mean, if, you know, it wasn't any. It, usually the story is, you know, you're going to have a playoff, you're going to have a close finish. The story was just, you know, how much is he going to win by? And
right.
He didn't disappoint anybody. He, you know, he almost set the record. It was incredible.
Good. Well, the TV station in Tampa broke in on Tiger just after his third shot on the 18th hole. The station got thousands of angry calls. Even the news director said it was a bonehead call. He said the weather report could have waited a few more minutes. The station has since issued an on-air apology.
This is Tampa where this happened?
Tampa, yeah.
Oh, they don't play a lot of golf down there.
Apparently not.
Mm-hmm. No golfers here. Buzz, hold on, please. Got to do this. Be right back.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Enjoy their show, Mr. Son of Beach. It's Don and Mike.
Buzz, I have a newsmaker on the telephone.
Newsmaker hotline.
Here is the newsmaker. And the news is, well, we have two bits of news today, right? Hello?
Yeah.
The first bit of news is that he made the honor roll again.
Yay! All right,
honor
good job.
No.
Yeah. What was that, buddy?
Honor roll one.
Honor roll one as opposed to honor roll two.
Or three.
Or honor roll three.
That's ahead of the class, right?
They got like a three-tier honor roll, so we got his report card. We couldn't be happier today. And the big news is Mommy and I are so excited that today Bart started his real job.
There you go.
Wow.
Yep.
Today was the first day of the real job. How many hours did you work today?
Eight, I think.
Eight. When did you start?
10:30.
10:30. When did you get done?
6:30.
Are you sick of working yet?
No.
Do you still think that going to a job every day is fun?
Yeah.
All right.
So you enjoyed today?
Mm-hmm.
Good. This will change.
Yes.
This will change.
Sure, it will.
And this will change, and I will be here to chronicle that for you.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your first day at work, and congratulations on that great report card.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mom and I sure do love you.
Love you, too.
And, Barty, thank you for the great Father's Day yesterday.
You're welcome.
I only said that for Uncle Mike's benefit.
For
Uncle Mike didn't even get a card.
Thank you to go full circle. It's very nice of you to do that. My daughter gave me a Father's Day card also.
Yes, she did.
Later in the day.
I told Uncle Mike how many cards you got me.
Dose.
Yeah, dose, too.
It's good.
Two, love you. Hey, listen, are the twins there?
What?
Are the twins there?
The twins, yes.
Put them on. Ask them if they want to say hi.
You guys want to say hi, my dad?
Hi.
They just said hi.
Yeah. Oh, all right. All right, buddy. Love you.
Love you, too.
All right, I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. There he is, first day at work.
Good for him.
Yeah, very exciting day for all of us.
Yeah, you should be.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hey, as you mentioned earlier in the
Let
show.
Let him pull his share.
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you're going towards the ultimate goal, which is to support you totally.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, none of this college foolishness. Right into the workforce to support you.
If you could do it by the end of summer.
There you go.
That would be ideal.
Maybe, of course, you did say you'd leave the room out for the accelerated college program where he finishes soon and he gets into a high-paying job.
Yeah, if he's like Doogie Howser.
Absolutely.
One of those deals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, if you've watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire from the beginning, don't bother watching for the next couple of weeks. ABC plans to air reruns of the game show starting tomorrow night. The network says it will re-air the shows from its first 2 weeks.
Because Regis is so depressed he's going to spend the rest of the time in bed.
He can't go on.
Right.
CBS, meanwhile.
Phone sex.
It's a coincidence that the rerun dates coincide with Gilman's vacation.
I think not.
Mm-hmm.
CBS says it's expanding the August 23rd finale of Survivor to 90 minutes. Besides more commercials, that also means more footage from the final 3 days when three of the four remaining contestants are voted off the island.
Go, Rudy!
And in that episode...
Oh, please, I hope he's the next voted off.
I like Rudy.
CBS...
I like Rudy because everybody hates Rudy.
Yes, well, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
CBS reportedly asking for $600,000 for a 30-second commercial, which is far more than the $350,000 ABC was asking for Millionaire in its heyday.
It's good. Charge more money.
Now, if ABC won't give Barbara Walters Millionaire as a lead-in to her 2020 show...
You have to charge more money, and that is... That is the easiest way to call our pet, Carmy the CBS hawk.
We actually now have a bucket of gold cufflinks.
That's great.
There you got one.
One.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep him circling, because if ABC won't give Barbara Walters Millionaire as a lead-in to her 2020 show, then maybe CBS will give her Survivor as a lead-in.
Hey.
Ooh. There's always been talk of a rivalry. Oh, he's excited.
That's his second conflict.
There's always been talk of a rivalry between ABC's Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters, and the talk is that rivalry heated up when ABC gave Diane Millionaire for a lead-in this fall.
I'd rather have Baba Wawa
and not Barbara.
Yeah.
So after 20...
So would Carmy.
He loves the cufflinks, man.
It's affected his appetite, I think. So after 24 years at the Alphabet Network, Walters had dinner recently with the head of CBS News. Walters makes $6 million a year at ABC. At least one report says CBS would be willing to pay her $10 million.
Really? Is that right, Carmy?
He's not saying anything. He's just catching those cufflinks that we throw for him.
A U.S. Airways shuttle and a corporate turboprop nearly collided at LaGuardia Airport last week. The government says it happened at a runway intersection after someone in the tower cleared the turboprop for takeoff.
I hope they got a great meal at the Yankee Clipper before,
you
before
know
that happened.
They only serve good meals at the Yankee Clipper.
You wouldn't know this because you don't fly with us.
That's right.
But at LaGuardia, where you get the Delta shuttle,
yeah.
Right. This Yankee Clipper, it's the worst piece of dung restaurant you've ever been in your life. You want to talk about a restaurant where they do stuff to the food.
Right. Remember, that's not even the LaGuardia where we were at last time.
Right.
This is the Marine Terminal.
Right.
Which
so this is an older terminal.
Miles right. Away from LaGuardia.
Right. Right. The worst.
The food was not that bad, that one place that that we ate at.
No.
Where they had like a little food court there. I mean, it wasn't great. But
no,
it was...
I believe that place was air conditioned.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, the Yankee Clipper, not so much.
Hey, man, on the train you get a microwave burger.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's delicious. So the train is still the food on the train. There's a long way to go. It's the lay of the train, my boy.
Well, listen, on the Delta shuttle,
yes.
When we fly up to New York to
what do you
the
get
show,
on the shuttle?
We all get a bagel in a brown paper bag
mm-hmm.
that has a big orange dot on it.
You know what my mm-hmm. fantasy is when I'm taking the train back? I'm always thinking that, like, in the days of Jim West, the Wild Wild West, we all had our own train car.
Yeah.
And all my, seriously,
like
and
that.
All my friends would, you guys would have to come with me, because even though it's slower, you'd know that it was just so much nicer on my private train car that you'd come. That's my little fantasy.
Would we play cards?
And I think really, like an Amtrak private train car, it's I don't know what it costs, but it's some phenomenal
yeah,
amount of money.
Dollars.
Yeah, not just to get the train car, but to pay Amtrak to haul it around.
Someday, someday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone in the tower at LaGuardia cleared this turboprop for takeoff just as a U.S. Airways jet was landing. It was the third near collision in 2 years at LaGuardia that controllers failed to report to the FAA. And the Washington Post says one of those incidents involved the same, or two of the incidents involved the same tower operator.
Get to know Charlie.
Okay, plane number 12. Go. No. Stop. There's another big plane coming.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Oh, man, I love working at LaGuardia.
The government only knew about this latest incident because it was reported by the U.S. Airways pilot.
Don't tell anybody, Joe.
It doesn't smell like a cigar.
The authors of the Prostate Cookbook. Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
Doing some Texas-style prostate barbecue tonight.
Oh, nice and spicy.
Yeah. Maybe Memphis-style prostate.
Ooh, that's the best. Do you like Cincinnati-style is good, too.
And so is Kansas City-style prostate. Nice big Chicago-style.
I'm not a big fan of...
Don't you like deep-dish prostate?
Oh, I love deep-dish, and I like deep-fried prostate.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A couple of months ago, we told you about a guy on an Alaskan Airlines flight who opened the cockpit door and announced he was going to kill everyone. It was the It was the March 16th flight from Puerto Vallarta to San Francisco.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me. The 6'2", 250-pound man took off his shirt, burst through the cabin door, and lunged for the controls.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
That was the guy. A co-pilot fought him off with a small axe while the pilot called for help from passengers. Doctors at Stanford now say the man may have been suffering from the effects of viral meningitis at the time. Rob.
There he is. This was the man.
Rob.
You're kidding about all the rest.
Rob.
I want to take over the play.
Rob.
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 So woozy. What's the matter with me? Stop that plane. I'm a federal officer. Look at me. I'm flying the plane. My name is Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
So these doctors say he may have had viral meningitis when he did all that crazy stuff. And
doctors hired by the lawyers, no doubt.
Exactly. Since the man has no history of crime or mental illness, his lawyer is expecting to use this condition as a defense.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
He had viral alcoholitis.
If you're at an airport on July 6th, you're likely to see flight attendants demonstrating.
Oh, what is this for? Viral meningitis?
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Isn't that what he had?
Yeah.
Yes.
He did have it.
We weren't all too nervous when that was going on, coming in and using the studio. Yes, sirree.
You'll likely see flight attendants on July 6th demonstrating. Has nothing to do with a strike. It has everything to do with air rage. Flight attendants are so worried about this growing problem, they're staging an international day of action July 6th to try to get the airlines and the government to take it more seriously. The government says there were 178 incidents reported last year, down from the years before.
That's nice, but be a good waitress now. Give me a Diet Coke and bring me the entire can.
The waitress.
Yeah, please. Not just a glass.
Now, see, I think that holds true when you're on a plane, just like in a restaurant, you know. They'd be back there in the cabin.
Sure. Yeah. Right, you don't complain.
Here's your soda.
Gee, waitress. Thank you for giving me approximately 2 ounces of beverage. You know, when you could just as easy give me the can that has all 12 ounces of the beverage.
And you could just as easy give me a regular bottle of vodka. Not those little things they have up there.
So the government says there were 178 incidents last year, down from the years before. But a lot of incidents don't get reported. And one airline group says there were really about 4,000 cases of air rage last year.
We've flown an awful lot together, and I know you've flown a lot on your own. Have you ever witnessed, like, anybody really just go mental as far as screaming and yelling and attacking people?
Oh, stop it.
No.
Never have. No.
Truthfully, I mean, I've never seen it. I've never witnessed
love
it.
Love to be on a plane to see it one time.
Well, the odds are increasing, and now this group of airlines says these incidents take the pilot away from the controls about 40% of the time, distract him from his number one job, flying the plane. Some airlines are experimenting with a new special restraint to keep troublemaking passengers strapped in their seats.
I mean, I've sure had a lot of cocktails on airplanes, and I've seen a lot people. I've seen a lot of people have cocktails on airplanes, but usually
I've never seen anybody flip out like that.
They just get happy, right. You know?
Some people, I guess, get on the plane drunk, and they say that the change in cabin pressure as the plane gains altitude causes them to be drunker than they thought they were.
Please. Come on.
I think I'm looking at the experiment for that and proof that that doesn't work.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm fine. It doesn't make me get crazy. It makes me go to sleep and not notice that we're taking off. That's the whole idea.
Viagra and other impotence treatments can improve the quality of a man's life by about 18%.
I've always had trouble hearing you.
Researchers in Pittsburgh asked men how many years of their life they'd be willing to give up the treatment would put them back to normal.
Can't hear a word you say.
The researchers then factored in the cost of the treatment. That's how they came up with this formula.
Well, you did it, bud.
I set off the alarm.
It's a little blue pill shaped like a football.
Next question.
The Viagra alarm.
Makes you love to stand up about a foot tall.
What is it?
It's about a foot tall, Jack.
25 milligrams, guaranteed erection.
I beg your pardon?
Don't blame me. Blame Buzz.
Walking
me.
Proud as a peacock, open for inspection.
Inspection. What was the question?
It was open for inspection.
Well, you swallow it down, and then 1 hour later,
I can't hear you.
Pulling the sword just like a gladiator.
I beg your pardon?
Viagra.
You know, I've always had trouble here. Can't hear a word you say.
That's your fault, Buzz. You set off the Viagra alarm.
I should know better.
Viagra.
But these researchers in Pittsburgh found that the impotence treatments do as much to improve a man's quality of life as do treatments for allergies and for migraine headaches.
Hey, don't look at Mike.
Yeah, please.
Shaft was the number one movie over the weekend, but theater owners were a little disappointed. The movie made $21 million on its premiere weekend. That's down from what blockbusters have been averaging lately.
Gone in 60 was number two with over 14.5 million. Big Mama's House was third with nearly 11.5 million.
Why were they disappointed? 21 million is a good number.
It used to be 20 million. Used to be considered a solid number. But movies have been premiering lately with bigger numbers, 30, 35, 40 million dollars a weekend. And now, if a movie doesn't make that much, the theater owners start complaining. They say it's underperforming.
So Isaac Hayes on Letterman had the whole orchestra there doing Shaft.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. I mean, because when a man shaves his head, he looks exactly the same as he did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was very cool to see him with it. They had all the violins up there, and then they had the singers going, Shaft! And he's like, hey, you can dig it. It was great.
Well, Shaft was number one. MI2 was fourth with just under 11 million. Titan AE rounds out the top five, followed by Boys and Girls, Dinosaur, Gladiator, Shanghai Noon, and Road Trip.
Yeah, that Boys and Girls is a movie that Stossel didn't even bother to review.
Mm-mm.
on Wednesday's episode.
You know why?
Why?
No figurines.
One more, Buzz.
Okay. Well, we don't normally cover the Christian music scene, but then Michael English is not your typical Christian recording artist. His manager says Michael is in rehab after being indicted on a dozen charges of using fraud to get a narcotic prescription drug. The drug in question is similar to codeine. Michael's manager says the artist got addicted after having it prescribed for an injury.
In this day and age, you can't even get sick.
7 years ago, Michael English returned 6 Gospel Music Awards, admitting he had had an adulterous affair with a backup singer that resulted in her becoming pregnant out of wedlock.
Say what you will about this guy, Michael English. I love his chicken.
I think that was coming.
English is fried chicken.
Amen.
It's the best.
That's sure, hon. Thank you. Buzz, thank you.
You bet.
Toe-tapping touchstones right there. We are ready for call 100.
Oh, look for the red roof, honey.
And a prize package. Selected especially for you. 877-365-3636. Be call 100 now.
So what? We both have vagina. So what?
Broadcasting under the watchful eye of Carmi, the CBS hawk. It's Don and Mike.
He's full already today. We've fed him about 8 or 9 gold cufflinks already.
I don't know. Yeah. Hope he doesn't land on any statues tonight.
All right, let me call him back. Profits. Increased stock. Survivor.
Oh, there, that got him. Survivor. Look at him. Boy, he just flew in here when you said Survivor. All right, you're stuffing him.
Got it again.
He looks like his belly is full.
There he goes. Oh, let me get him back real fast.
Oh.
Imus falls off horse.
He's laughing too.
Oh, man.
In sports.
Stupid Ilya.
Stupid horse.
Where's my brother?
In sports, Indiana's coming off a 33-point victory, but the Lakers still have 3 wins going into Game 6 of the best-of-7 NBA championship.
Yeah, right? Thank you. Thank you, Lakers. Really enjoying making my son's bed and doing his laundry now for this entire week. Thank you. Really enjoying that.
That's weird, though, that they got blown out like that. I mean, it's one thing to lose a game, but, I mean, get blown out. That changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, even in the basketball?
Yeah, but the game tonight's in L.A., so we'll see.
At the Staples Center.
Diane Cannon.
And finally, it was supposed to be a wedding to remember, and it was, just not for the reasons they hoped. The setting was a restaurant along a lake in upstate New York. Out on a raft out on this lake, a lot of fireworks to finish off the reception. But something went very, very wrong. Some of the fireworks shot toward the people on shore. Other fireworks set the raft on fire. Nobody got hurt, and the restaurant's okay, but the fireworks operator's been charged with reckless endangerment.
Woo!
Not every wedding that ends with the arrival of the bomb squad to set off the unexploded incendiary devices.
Oh, no.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
We thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yes, that's it.
No!
Got to go! Back tomorrow with the all-new episode of Just Been Reminded That Tomorrow. We promised we would call TV star Leah Remini back to ask her how her birthday party went.
Absolutely. Find out if it was Hollywood.
Also tomorrow, we'll be talking about our new relationship with a new Hollywood star.
Yes, very good. Very exciting.
Soon to take the place of Leah and Kevin in our hearts.
Wow.
Well, it's the eventual plan.
It's going to happen.
Cool. Of course.
This guy already wants us to come on and show and not be furniture in the background.
That's, hey, that's how you come, you know, come around for us.
Wow. All right, so it's Mike O'Malley. Listen, that's the best we can do.
Hi, honey.
But we will think about breaking the news to Leah tomorrow. Also on tomorrow's episode, we will have a graveside conversation with Mama Soprano, with the Widow Soprano.
Yes, she will be missed.
That is on tomorrow's episode.
Hello,
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, am I another caller?
No, you're not. I'm sorry. Thank you, though.
Oh, man.
You're trying.
I'm so assertive.
Sorry, thank you.
You were so assertive. Yeah, that's right. That's what you were when you asked the question.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I am the 100th caller.
Right.
That's it. That's how you do it.
What is your name?
Gerald Mitchell.
Gerald, where are you calling from?
Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, California, KGEO Radio. Gerald, you have won the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards prize pack. Tune in to Fox tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 7 Central to catch the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards. Blockbuster, bringing entertainment home. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. See you tomorrow. Be back with the all-new episode then. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And Rob, Mike?
Yes, Don.
And Rob, Mike.
Happy Father's Day. Same to you, Don.
And Robbie.
Sid.
Please throw your German officer's hat in the air, just like Sydney.
Oh.
Tyler.
Oh.
More. Now,
horrible throw.
And what are you trying to do there, Mike?
I'm sorry. I didn't know my own strength.
Come on, King Kong.
Come on,
sorry.
Tiger.
I'm sorry.
We will see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
So we meet again. Sammy Game.